We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
New world order.
New world order.
This is a moment to see. The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
A new world order.
A world where the United Nations is poised to fulfill the historic vision of its founders.
Nevertheless, the United States is in a key position to shape this so that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
The first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy. Greatest restructuring of the global economy. Greatest restructuring of the global economy. A new world order was created.
Documenting the crisis of our republic.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Waging war on the new world order.
The councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
This is Covering America with Darren Weeks and Vicki Davis.
From FEMA Regions 5 and 10, this is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. Vicki Davis is here as well. It continues to be the 12th. It is the 12th of June, 2021, as we document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national state and individual autonomy, all the insanity going on in our world. And we were just talking before we came on the air today just how easy this job used to be. And I said it's basically because there's no information. There wasn't as much information in the past as there is today. So much happens in a week, it's just difficult. It was really impossible to keep track of it. Even if we had a daily show, it'd be easier, but it wouldn't be near as... You just can't keep track of it all. No matter what you do, you can cover a whole lot more, the more time you have. But it's just ultimately... it's literally a fire hose of information going on every day. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, there's been so much going on in the last 2 weeks. It's almost kind of like, you know, call me paranoid or whatever, but it seems to me like all of these hearings that have been going on, they're important hearings, you know, appropriations and whatever. I think they scheduled all this together, actually. The hearings for appropriations to be at the same time as the G7, and because this is a really big G7.
Yeah, and we got to talk about that too as time progresses. By the way, I have to say real quick, we are now on the satellite live. So last week we were on the satellite on the replay. We were not on live due to some kind of a computer issue, but we are back on American Voice Radio Network simulcasted live. So that puts us up on the KU band satellite covering all of North America. So greetings to everyone there. It's been a while since we were on the satellite. We actually took a year off back a while ago. But we've been back since, what was it, October of, 2019? I can't remember. It's unbelievable how fast the time goes.
Yeah, I don't know.
We've been back for quite a while doing live shows. But, yeah. So anyway, so there's that. So greetings to all the people listening on satellite. Off the satellite. So, talking about a lot of information that's going on, we have the election audit going on in the background, which we haven't talked about a lot. And the main reason I haven't got into that a lot is because, number one, it's not going to change the outcome of the election. If anybody is deluded to think that it will, I'm sorry, you're badly mistaken. Nobody's going to take Joe Biden out of office. Unless he leaves at the end of the current term, who would do it? Who would do it? And we can't even get the Republicans in the state of Michigan to recognize that there's a problem. My daughter wants to be a precinct delegate, and she went to a meeting the other night in Jackson, downtown Jackson, to find out more information about it. And she came back with a report of how basically the treacherous Republicans are trying to block the any audit of an election here.
Well, who's ever in control of the state? I mean, you know, if there's criminal fraud going on in the election systems, which I do believe there is, you know, whatever party is in power has to be protective of, you know, their system. So
state representative,
so it's bipartisan. It's bipartisan opposition to election integrity.
She said it was State Representative Anne Boleyn who got up and told the crowd that she didn't think that there was any widespread fraud. Now, had I been there, and I didn't attend, now I kind of wish I had of, because had I been there, I would have asked her the question, why do you think they put the play cards over the windows in downtown Detroit? Do they do that to keep the public from seeing in during the count if there's not fraud going on? I mean, how do you explain that? Why would you block out the public's view if there wasn't widespread fraud going on? I mean, but this is the kind of nonsense that's going on here, and it just, it's just mind-boggling. But that's not the Democrats, folks. That's the Republicans. That's the Republicans. So, you know, as much as we like to blame Democrats for everything, you know, the filthy, disgusting corruption starts among those, you know, the house cleaning needs to start within those who are claiming to be on our side.
That's true. That's a good point. You know, clean your own house first before you go after somebody else's.
Yeah, it's like the old saying, charity begins at home. Well, house cleaning begins at home. You know, if you're going to work on constructing somebody else's house, maybe you should get your own house in order first. Or as the Bible says, get the beam out of your the beam out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to get the speck out of your neighbor's. Gateway Pundit, speaking on the election stuff real quick, Gateway Pundit is quoting an Arizona lawmaker, because apparently the federal government and Attorney General Garland wants to get involved, and they're threatening him with prison time if he does. They say, the headline is, Arizona lawmaker responds to AG Garland, you will not touch Arizona ballots or machines unless you want to spend time in Arizona prison.
So, whoa. Now, how can he do that? I mean, how can he make that kind of threat?
Unless he's planning on getting sick in the sheriff on him. Early on Friday, the Biden administration, or the Biden Department of Justice, or as I like to call it, the Biden Department of Injustice, warned state lawmakers that if they proceeded to audit fraudulent elections, they will be targeted by the Biden administration. Now, first of all, right there, if, in fact, there was no widespread fraud, why are they so worried about having an audit? Why are they so worried about finding out the truth of what really happened? Why would they be fighting tooth and nail to stop the truth from coming out about what happened with the election? Everybody should want a pure election. You know, they told us for years, Vicki, about how important it was to vote. They told us for years about how, you know, this process, you know, it depends upon you, and everybody's got to go out now. You know, everybody's got to make a showing at the polls. You know, democracy, 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 right?
Well, right, but I think most of that was before they started developing global systems, and because these systems are international, the companies are international, and we were told, and I don't know the truth of this, but I do believe it, that our data left our shores, that both parties would have something to protect in those terms, because if people understood the extent to which the technocratic tyranny is global, it would blow the whole game, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, if the American people knew half of what this stuff is, it would blow their whole game. But anyway, they told us a lot about the, you know, how important it was, and yet they're fighting tooth and nail to stop from having an accurate vote count. You know, and we've talked about on the show for probably more than a decade, I'm sure, about how these computerized voting systems were bogus and how easily they could be changed. You know, Beth Harris, black box voting, she's done a lot on that subject, and we followed her work as well over the years. I believe we even had her on the show before. But anyway, this whole thing is. But you know, they're saying there's the U.S. Constitution. Gateway Pundit continues, specifically gives the power to the states to regulate federal agencies as they see fit. You would think the Attorney General of the United States would know this. Following the threats by the Biden regime, former fighter pilot and Arizona State Senator Wendy Rogers warned Merrick Garland to stay in his lane.
You know what, though? The federal government has bought our state governments. Every time the federal government wants to do something, they ask with money. You know, you do this and we'll give you money. Or if you don't do this, we'll take the money away.
Right, it's the carrot and stick approach.
Mm-hmm. Unconstitutionally, I might add. What the heck was I? Oh, I know. I was researching the legislation in Idaho that is in all of the states, because it was one of those, I forget what they call it, Uniform Law Commission mm-hmm. pieces of legislation.
Yeah.
It required our state to put reference to a Hague Convention in our state law and required our state judges to recognize without question, mind you, without review, foreign court orders as it pertains to supposedly child support and other family maintenance.
Mm.
So, and that was an extortion racket that was put into place by the Obama administration. It was required by law that our states put it in. At least, you know, they can't actually force our states to do it by law, but they threatened them with all of the money for health and human services programs within the state.
Yeah, you said it was unconstitutional, but I believe the courts, for whatever that's worth, which evidently is quite a bit, the courts have declared or decreed that the federal government can't force things on the states, but they can offer them money to implement it.
Yeah. I found an article by an attorney called Eric Fish, which is a strange name, but he listed out four conditions that must be met in order for the federal government to use this kind of extortion on the states. And one of them was that it must be for the universal good of the people in the state. And you can't really say that about child support payments.
Well,
so
I think attorneys can find a way. I mean, attorneys can make the case for a lot of different things, and it's just, and this goes back to the wordsmithing. I really think a lot of this goes to the wordsmithing.
Well, that's true, but child support payments does not benefit me, so therefore it can't be universal because there's a lot of people just like me. So it's not universal.
Yeah. According to Disclose.tv, Attorney General Merrick Garland was announcing that the Justice Department would scrutinize any post-election audits for evidence of voting law violations. And Wendy Rogers retweeted that, and she says, "You will not touch Arizona ballots or machines unless you want to spend time in an Arizona prison." maybe you should focus on stopping terrorism. The Justice Department is one of the most corrupt institutions in the USA.
So, ooh, good for her that she said that. I don't think she can back it up, but good for her that she said it.
Well, what needs to happen is if these people set one foot in the county sheriff needs to be on board and arrest them when they arrive. Because at some point we need some form of law and justice, law and order. We're certainly not going to get it from the Injustice Department. So,
yeah.
And there's other things going on with regard to election things. Gateway Pundit also has Antrim County Attorney DiPerno releases bombshell report, claims county voting machines were remotely logged into, decertifies entire Antrim election. But, you know, again, is there anything that's really going to come out of this in terms of overturning the election? See, the problem is, if they find the fraud, they find enough fraud, in my opinion, there is plenty of fraud to prove that this last election was completely bogus. The problem is, that's once again a reality on the right that's not going to shape the reality or ever even touch the reality on the left. They're living in a completely different reality, and if we were ever able to overturn the election, to them it would be a stolen election. Because
who cares what they think? It would be the Supreme Court that bridges the gap between the two worlds.
Well, I don't trust the Supreme Court.
I don't either, but that's the way it would go. And, you know,
but I guess my point is,
things have happened in history.
Who's going to remove Biden? Nobody's going to remove Biden. The military isn't going to remove Biden. It would have to be a military coup, which is probably why he's purging the military right now. There is a complete and absolute war on the military. They are purging any kind of patriotism and Americanism from the military. I can imagine being in the military.
You know that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff actually works for the UN Security Council, right?
Say that again.
Our country is so tied up, locked up into this international system. I don't know that we could get our sovereignty back, and especially because of the links between the military, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the United Nations.
Yeah.
This whole, everything that's been going on, you know, the renewal of the Atlantic Charter and all of that, and what our government has been doing is building international institutions. And I suspect that a lot of the administrative positions within the UN are Americans, and I think they filter in and out between the United Nations and our government, which is why our government has turned so communist Marxist.
Yeah. There's a judge.
You know, if you hired American employees from Missouri or Kansas or Idaho, they would be like pure Americana compared to these internationalists, you know, these socialists and communists of the UN system.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. There was a judge in Georgia also, just trying to keep things moving here. Why a judge in Georgia has vote fraud on his mind, pristine Biden ballots that looked Xeroxed. Apparently, some of the ballots appear to be Xeroxed. That's in Georgia. So, yeah, no widespread fraud. Nothing to see here. Move on, kids. And that, by the way, was an article from the Epoch Times. I'll put that in the show notes for people to look at. And you mentioned Marxism and communism. Patrice Cullors, you remember her. She's one of the founders of Black Lives Matter, who recently has resigned. She's now erected fencing and electric gate around her new $1.4 million home, Vicki.
Huh.
Isn't it amazing that these communists can engage in capitalism when they want to?
Yeah.
Apparently, they're charging a lot of money, the communist Chinese, you know, because they own this app, TikTok. They're charging a lot of money. I forget the exact amount, but I thought it was in the millions.
People pay to use TikTok?
No, the advertisers pay to put their ads on TikTok because a lot of people use TikTok.
Okay.
And for the front page of the app, you know, I've never used the app, so if I'm saying it wrong, forgive me. But apparently for the prime space where, you can really get a lot of eyeballs, they're charging gobs and bunches of money for the ad. The ad space on there. And it struck me that, you know, here we have these communist Chinese owning an app, but engaging in capitalism. Isn't it amazing how they can use capitalism, the evil capitalism, whenever they want to, whenever it suits them?
Oh, yeah. Well, capitalism is great for them. And they are, at least when I was first learning about the system in China, they became partners with the corporations, so the corporations that went over there to do business, they are actually partners with communist Chinese government. See, they don't have taxes; they have percentage ownership.
Yeah. Well, now we got apple pie is no longer able to be used anymore, consumed anymore. It's now racist. Did you see that?
No, but that doesn't surprise me. You know what? All of this stupidity just, you know, makes me wonder, where are the leaders in this country? Why is all this Marxism being pushed on us? And the leaders in this country are acting as if everything is still perfectly normal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I think they're a part of the corruption, obviously. To what degree? You know, I mean, everybody's got their own agendas, and that's the problem. All of our agendas should be the restoration of our country, but that's clearly not the case.
Yeah, well, and the security of our country. I listened a little bit to the hearing with Austin, is that his name? The Secretary of Defense. And mm-hmm. They were talking about critical race theory and what he's doing in the military. And I'm thinking to myself, talent is not equally distributed. And, you know, if our biggest threat is cyber security, and if the military is going to a system like Noah's Ark, where you've got to have two of each kind, we're screwed.
Yeah.
There is no security for this country because talent is not equally distributed, and it is especially not equally distributed when it comes to computers and systems and networks and so forth. And if they're not hiring the best of the best, you know, irrespective of their sex or their preferences or whatever, this country is done in terms of security.
Yeah, the only security we have left now is the American people having their firearms. That's real homeland security.
Mm-hmm.
The military is being gutted. That's the reason why that guy's there, and that's the reason why they're trying to get rid of any kind of patriotism. You know, and then, of course, it's all the racism thing, all the anti-white. I mean, here we see from Summit.News, medical journal describes whiteness as a parasitic pathology that has no cure. Now, we're hearing all this stuff about systemic racism everywhere.
You know what? When I hear things like that, I think these moronic black people and brown people that are saying things like that are just trying to get a reaction.
No, you know what?
Parasitic white people. Who built the whole damn...
Well, you know, the problem with your argument there, of course, is that a lot of the people that are pushing this stuff are white. So,
that's true.
No, this is really not a racial thing at all, Vicky. This Marxism, you know, communism divided the the population by class. It was classism. What they've done today is it's the same tactic. It's just they're using race now. They're using race to divide people. That's what this is about. It's pitting. And so instead of the class division, it's the race division.
Well, you're right. And who's funding it? The very, very wealthy. Very wealthy. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why the corporations are all on board with it. Because, you know, I think they're infiltrated in many respects. And I think that the other aspect of it is I think that they think that they want to be on the right side of history, and they picked the wrong side, to be quite honest.
Well, you know what I saw when I was researching the zones, you know, what I called the Trojan Triangle, is that the communist Chinese place a member of the Communist Party in a leadership position in all of their corporations. And I wonder if they didn't do that very same thing with the American corporations that are partners with the communist Chinese government.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I think the corporations are infiltrated. And I think the evidence of that is what we're seeing today. Bottom of the hour already. We got to take the break. We'll hit the ground running when we come back. 610-600-1776 is the number if you'd like to call in. 610-600-1776. If you don't have free long distance, you can call toll-free 844-646-8376. That's 844-6-GOVERN. This is Govern America. Vicki Davis is here. I'm Darren Weeks. We're just getting started. We'll be back in a moment.
America was founded upon solid principles, which built the world's strongest economy. But our position as world leader is now at risk. Our nation's social and economic fabric is very badly torn. Solutions demand a very clear vision in 2020. Swiss America says it's time to take off the rose-colored glasses to see the red flags all around us. And their 38th anniversary newsletter clearly explains why. America at the Crossroads covers topics such as surviving an upside-down economy, why debt destroys the dollar, and China's plan to rule the world. Get your free copy now. It's easy to protect your savings from a year of wild cards now by calling Swiss America to get your free copy of America at the Crossroads. Do it now before the next crisis of 2020 strikes. 800-429-4018. 800-429-4018. That's 800-429-4018.
America's founders recognized the right to keep and bear arms as being essential to the continuance of a free nation. Samuel Adams said, "The Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms." Thomas Jefferson wrote, "No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms." And in a speech to the Virginia Ratifying Convention, Patrick Henry said, "Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect everyone who approaches that jewel. Unfortunately, nothing will preserve it but downright force. Whenever you give up that force, you are ruined. The great object is that every man be armed." To America's founders, the right to keep and bear arms was inextricably linked to freedom. They recognized that without the one, you can't have the other. Because firearms in the hands of the average citizen serves to balance power away from tyrannical government. In response to recent mass shooting events, there is a heavy push to pass laws that would make guns difficult to be obtained by honest, law-abiding Americans. Yet there is no guarantee that taking away the rights of honest firearms owners would do anything to stop mass shooting events. Criminals don't obey laws, which is what makes them criminals. If a law would stop a mass shooting, then there would be no mass shootings, since it is already illegal to shoot innocent people. And many of these shootings have taken place in gun-free zones where firearms are already prohibited. Gun control laws serve to keep firearms out of the hands of law-abiding Americans, making us defenseless. While we feel for those impacted by recent tragedies, the truth is that contrary to media propaganda, gun violence is actually way down, except in gun-free zones. And criminals will always be able to get guns, even making them from raw materials if necessary. Hence, the notion that making guns scarce will keep shootings from happening is a fallacy. If Jefferson were alive today, he might say to the gun control crowd, as he did to James Madison in 1787, "I prefer dangerous freedom over peaceful slavery." This message was brought to you by Govern America Radio, truth for the restoration of our nation.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happens. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-430-8233. 800-430-8233. 800-430-8233. Call right now. That's 800-430-8233.
Where the spooks go to find out what's really going on. This is Govern America.
Welcome back to the broadcast. This is Govern America. GovernAmerica.com is the website for the show. That's GovernAmerica.com. My email address is radio@GovernAmerica.com. Vicki, go ahead and give your information out, please.
Okay, my website is TheTechnocraticTyranny.com. My older website is ChannelingReality.com, and my email address is on both websites.
All right, very good. So check it out. And 610-600-1776, if you'd like to call in, 610-600-1776. It's amazing to me how they're coming out now and just admitting things that were completely forbidden in the past. Here's the Daily Mail. New study shows a drug touted by former president can increase COVID survival rates by 200%. They're talking about hydroxychloroquine. You know, how much did we hear bad stuff about hydroxychloroquine? You know, and then we have the COVID-19 stuff, which I'll get to in a moment, but the Wall Street Journal has an article out. The science suggests a Wuhan lab leak. Now, isn't that amazing? What an amazing turnabout. Complete 180.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now it's okay to talk about the lab leak as far as the COVID-19 thing. You know, but you're a conspiracy theorist. You were Hitler. You were an Antichrist. You were anything that's evil and diabolical and you know, kooky, if you mentioned that a year ago. Well, if you mentioned it just as much as a few months ago.
Yeah, well, and YouTube is still censoring it. I did a video clip of an interview that Steve Bannon did with the former chief scientist at Pfizer,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Yeadon, and It was the first strike on my channel. YouTube took it down.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've got to figure out how to get it on Rumble or DLive or somewhere else, because it's really an excellent interview. And he says that children should not be vaccinated at all. And he said that the disease COVID really affects primarily people 70 and over.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the vaccine is dangerous. It's dangerous.
Well, we've seen that over, you know, throughout this whole ordeal, all these people being injured, and we've got more stories about that as well. But before we get into the COVID stuff, we do have a lot of COVID stuff too, just finishing up some of the social justice warrior communist crap. There's a school district in New Jersey. Things have gotten so bad there, they've decided to scrap all holidays because someone's feelings might get hurt.
Not in New Jersey, where the controversy over Columbus Day has become a major point of contention in Randolph.
It has gotten so heated, the town's Board of Education is now deciding to remove the name of all holidays on the school calendar. Fox 5's Antoine Lewis has more.
Last month, the Randolph, New Jersey Board of Education voted to change Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day on its calendar of school holidays, a decision that upset many. Andre DeMina was executive board member of the Italian-American One Voice Coalition.
They said that they know that a number of other places were changing it because of the questionable background of Columbus, which we believe is totally based on false lies and false accusations, but that's why they changed it to Indigenous Peoples Day. We've got nothing against Indigenous people, and they should be celebrated. Just don't take away Columbus Day.
At the board's follow-up meeting Thursday night on the Columbus Day change, it then decided to remove the names of all holidays from the school calendar and refer to the day as school closed, prompting some in attendance to walk out of the meeting.
So now instead of just insulting Italian Americans by removing Columbus Day, they've removed all the other holidays, like Martin Luther King Day, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and all the other holidays are now voted out.
In a statement to Fox 5, the board said, after careful consideration of concerns introduced by both proponents of the change as well as those in opposition to the change, a motion was presented for consideration to stop using holiday titles on the district's calendar. We agreed unanimously that the change would be both inclusive and equitable. Not all at Thursday's meeting were opposed to the change.
No one is deleting Columbus from the curriculum. We can acknowledge why we stand on this soil without putting the people who stole it on a pedestal.
This is reaction to the change we got Friday afternoon.
I don't know why they think they can all of a sudden change what's been for years and years. Like, people celebrate, it's important.
I think that's insane. I really do. That is really taking away our history.
It's our history. I mean, I hate to see it all go down the drain, but it's a day, I guess, if you want to look at it that way.
Now, a Board of Education spokesperson told us that although the holiday titles will be changing on the calendar, educating the students about the importance and the meanings behind these holidays will remain a part of the curriculum.
Yeah. For how long? That's the question. Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things, people. This is why we can't have nice things.
A whole big part of the Marxist agenda. Did you hear the Chinese lady that was talking about the Communist Chinese Cultural Revolution? She gave testimony in a school board meeting, and she said that this is exactly what they did in
China.
They took over.
I think I might have heard that.
One of the things that I've been researching, and I haven't published it yet, but I will be, is that in 1960, the Soviet Union proposed a declaration, a UN resolution, that all countries would decolonize, would be decolonized. Okay, well, if you look at the history, you know, from about the 1600s, maybe even the 1500s forwards, which countries were the colonizers? They were Western European countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this resolution passed in the UN. John F. Kennedy was president, he was running, but when he became president, then he jumped on the bandwagon then and said, yes, they should have freedom, freedom, freedom. I don't know, if he ever thought that it would come around to bite us in the rear end, or if because we declared independence from Britain, if they thought they could sell that. But a lot of what's going on in our country today still has to do with that decolonization. And that's what you just heard about that Columbus holiday and when they tried to remove the statue in New York, rename Columbus Circle, and basically eliminating our history is part of the decolonization agenda.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that if people don't know their history, and that's the same kind of thing that we've done. You know, I can remember the ISIS that during the Iraq and Afghanistan war, first thing that they did when, you know, it's Syria, same thing. They're trying to go in there now. Luckily, Bashar al-Assad was able to hang on to power and resist. But what they've been doing is they've been destroying the monuments and stuff over there. They've been going into libraries and that kind of thing and completely destroying artifacts and museums and all kinds of things, because all that stuff represents history.
Right. Well, and any government that is in power, when the people who are not in power look at the government, they consider themselves the native people, and their government as being the colonizers. and so you have a worldwide communist revolution going on, cultural revolution, and nobody is talking about that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But all of that is being brought to us by the damn UN,
yeah.
United Nations.
Yeah, yeah. And how can the United States ever get out of the United Nations when we're the driving force behind it?
Well, we need to. We need to actually, the whole damn thing should be destroyed, because all they are doing is creating problems all around the world. And it's all low-level revolution, you know, where civilians are fighting other civilians, and ultimately the governments do collapse. But it's the United Nations,
yep.
and their resolutions.
Yep.
That
exactly.
And you know what how I started onto that path was the Britain decolonizing Hong Kong. That's why they turned Hong Kong over to the back over to the Chinese.
Yeah, and I just know that the United States is going to allow Taiwan to go back. It depends upon.
They're going to have to because of this resolution, and the United States always is a good rule follower, right?
Well, the United States follows the rules only when it suits the United States, and it's really not even the United States that it suits. These globalists that are in charge follow the rules only when it suits globalism, I should say, really, because everything they're doing is not in favor. And it's amazing to me, you know, after Trump was ousted, basically, and I'll put it that way, after he was ousted successfully in this past fiasco that they call an election, we saw these think tanks, these globalist think tanks, go through this kind of like self-examination. You know, like, well, now that Trump is gone, we really need to understand why Trump ever happened to begin with. And, you know, it's all this navel-gazing, for lack of a better word, as to, you know, what went wrong. Why are the American people, and why are they so, and really the people of the world, Vicky, because, Brexit was really the result of a populist movement, too. I think it was a rebellion against globalism. Just like I think the Trump
absolutely.
Phenomenon.
Yes.
And people need to understand, it's not about Trump. You have to, again, separate the man from the movement. This movement, which swept Trump into office, is real. It is a real, legitimate rebellion. And we've seen a number of these over the course of, well, my time, as I pay attention to politics and, you know, which I hate politics, but unfortunately, it's a part of our lives, and it politics will. You may not take an interest in politics, but it'll take an interest in you, and your stuff. Let's put it that way. But
yeah. Well, I really believe that if people understood the extent to which the United Nations, through our State Department, directly into our legislature, how much the UN agenda controls what happens in this country. I think there actually would be a revolution, but it would be a revolution of all the people against those morons in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And well, New York.
But the Trump phenomenon.
That's where the UN is New York. That's where the Council on Foreign Relations is New York.
The Trump phenomenon was a revolution of sorts. It wasn't one with guns and violence, but it was neither was the January 6th thing either, by the way, other than violence from the other side, from the infiltrators and from the Capitol Police. That was the violence. That was the guns. But The revolution that happened was a revolution of populism, a revolt against the same globalist policies that have been clearly destroying this country. And since this time, you know, we saw this brief period where the think tanks were all examining this and trying to figure it out, and it looks to me like they've backslidden now, and they're just going back to the standard globalism which caused that in the first place. So there's going to be more of this in the future because the problem isn't being addressed. They're happy in their ivory towers, but the people are suffering as a result of their everything they're doing, the policies.
And they're going to be suffering a lot more because the international movement is a movement of the left. And so, you know, they've got Biden, and Biden is on the left. And,
yeah, and when you say that, it sounds partisan in a way, but people have to understand, if you listen to these think tanks, but there's plenty of there's plenty of quote unquote right wing globalists as well. You got the right wing globalist think tanks, and you got the left wing globalist think tanks.
Yeah, I think I said last week that the Democrat Party was originally the party of the working people, you know, union members and so forth. But it was taken over by the Democratic Leadership Council, who I believe were actually members of the Socialist International.
Yeah.
And all of this automation that they've implemented that is the technocratic tyranny, that was bipartisan because there are people on the right who are members of the Socialist International, the same as there are people on the left. Now, people on the left have more power within it because the tech industry, the leaders of the tech industry, are the ones that are actually controlling all of the technocratic tyranny. And, you know, they generally lean left politically. So,
all right, we might as well get this out of the way. On another subject. You remember Jeffrey Toobin?
Yes. That is so embarrassing. So embarrassing.
Well, he's back, Ricky. And CNN. Did you see that?
I saw an interview. I don't know.
CNN has taken him back. And he came back to apologize.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello, Allison.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, indeed.
I feel like we should address what's happened in the months since...
Now, by the way, folks, in case you are a little dusty on the subject, Jeffrey Toobin is the CNN anchor, the legal analyst, I think he was a legal analyst or something, who, well, exposed his tube, shall we say, on the Zoom call with people at... What was the magazine he worked for? I'm blanking on the magazine. I think they mentioned it in here.
I don't remember, but... They fired him.
yeah. The magazine did. CNN put him on leave. CNN evidently is going to take him back. So this was his quote-unquote come-to-Jesus moment on CNN.
Since some of our viewers may not know what has happened, so I guess I'll recap. I'll do the honors.
Awkward.
Okay. In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there, and you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much. And
you were thinking dirty thoughts.
It was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible, but I mean that is part of the story. And you know, I have spent the 7 subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do
doing therapy now.
Public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing, but I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
Well, we could never trust them to begin with.
I'm sure you've replayed that embarrassing moment over and over many times. Have you ever thought about what it must have been like to be on the receiving end of that Zoom call?
Well, I haven't just thought about it. I've spoken to several of my former colleagues at The New Yorker about it. And, you know, they were shocked and appalled. I think they realized that this was not intended for them. I think they realized that this was something that I would immediately regret, as I certainly did. And it was that day, that I began apologizing. And that is something that I have tried to continue to do, both publicly and privately. You know, we've covered a lot of political scandals, and we've heard what I like to think of as the politician apology, which is, you know, I'm sorry if you were offended, which always sounds to me like I've said the words, now get off my back. That's exactly what I've tried not to do. I mean, I have tried, and I'm trying now, to say how sorry I am. Sincerely, in all seriousness. Above all, I am sorry to my wife and to my family, but I'm also sorry to the people on the Zoom call. I'm sorry to my former colleagues at The New Yorker. I'm sorry to my current, fortunately still, colleagues at CNN. And I'm sorry to the people who read my work and who watched me on CNN and who thought I was a better person than this.
We didn't think that. Anyway, that's about halfway through. CNN always covering the hard news, but Jeffrey Toobin.
Oh, that was bad.
Jeffrey Toobin. So he's back, and I'll let people go and listen to the rest of this horrible, horrible moment. Geez, it was too gold. It was too gold not to use it, Vicky. But anyway, anytime they come crawling back. Well, they're like roaches, you know. But anyway, so you know, speaking of CNN, though, Brian Stelter, you've heard of him. He has a book out, and he was promoting it on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. The audience had a chance to call in, and anytime you have unscreened calls and allow the audience to call in, well, you get unscreened comments, and so. Here's a little sampling of how that went.
Yes, I'd like to ask Brian to, on national television, admit he and his network are a bunch of liars about Donald Trump.
This is Kevin in Princeton, Indiana. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Stelter is the biggest minister of misinformation I have ever heard, and I'm a news junkie. He made the statement just a few minutes ago that he is... all the stories are always evolving. Yeah, stories absolutely evolve.
Brian Stelter.
Thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it.
Savannah, Georgia. Rick, good morning. You're next.
Yes, I was just wondering if you still feel like Michael Avenatti is the greatest thing in the world and should run for president of the United States.
That's
funny. My suggestion is whatever CNN says, do the opposite, and you'll be fine.
Aurora, Indiana, this is Robert. Good morning. You're on with Brian Stelter.
You know, CNN is just something that's a joke. It's a joke. This guy tells more lies, and Fox gives more news than CNN does in a...
What lie? What lie did I tell?
2 years. It's nothing but lies.
Okay, so anyway, that's a little bit out.
What lie? Oh, let me count them.
Well, Kaylee McKinney was asked about that on Fox News, and here's what her response was.
What a skewering. No wonder his ratings are down 53% from January. That's a perfect example of the media elite that Carl just mentioned. You know, he says what lies, mistruths, whatever you want to call it. Well, one example is the IG report that shows President Trump did not clear the path in Lafayette Park with tear gas, clear the path of protesters in order to have a photo op, contrary to what Jim Acosta suggested time and time again on that network. We know the Russia bounty story. There were Russia bounties on the heads of American soldiers. That was not the case, and they said President Trump ignored that. We know when President Trump was called crazy for saying the Wuhan lab might be the origin for COVID-19. In fact, it looks like he might have been right after all, and that's just three examples of many. There's no wonder that now 79% of independents say that they believe the media makes up fake stories and intentionally publishes them. That's an extraordinary statistic.
Yeah, so the wheels are coming off in the narrative of the mainstream media as well. People, less and less people are trusting it, at least people on the right. Now, as far as people on the left, I don't know. I think that they are still too busy listening to Rachel Maddow, and that's the worry, is listening to partisans like her and, you know, Tubin and Jim Acosta and Brian Stelter, all these people who lie to people every day.
They're all clowns.
Yeah, indeed. All right, we're out of this hour already. We got COVID stuff coming up in the next hour. Lots to cover. Stay with us, folks. This is Govern America, governamerica.com, and thetechnocratictyranny.com. We'll be back. Hour number two is straight ahead. Don't go away.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either. I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happens. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-430-8233. 800-430-8233. 800-430-8233. Call right now. That's 800-430-8233.
America was founded upon solid principles, which built the world's strongest economy. But our position as world leader is now at risk. Our nation's social and economic fabric is very badly torn. Solutions demand a very clear vision in 2020. Swiss America says it's time to take off the rose-colored glasses, to see the red flags all around us. And their 38th anniversary newsletter clearly explains why. America at the Crossroads covers topics such as surviving an upside-down economy, why debt destroys the dollar, and China's plan to rule the world. Get your free copy now. It's easy to protect your savings from a year of wild cards now by calling Swiss America to get your free copy of America at the Crossroads. Do it now before the next crisis of 2020 strikes. 800-429-4018. 800-429-4018. That's 800-429-4018.
Before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
New world order.
New world order.
This is a moment to see. The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
A new world order.
A world where the United Nations is poised to fulfill the historic vision of its founders.
Nevertheless, the United States is in a key position.
to shape this so that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
The first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is, will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy, greatest restructuring of the global economy, greatest restructuring of the global economy, a new world order was created.
Documenting the crisis of our republic.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Waging war on the new world order.
The councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
This is Govern America with Darren Weeks and Vicki Davis.
From FEMA Regions 5 and 10, this is the second hour of Govern America. It continues to be the 12th of June, 2021. I'm Darren Weeks. Vicki Davis is here as well. And we are talking about the COVID crisis right now, which isn't really a crisis, except that it's another created crisis, something that people are trying to drum up to control the population. As this is something that is just always, you know, you need a good crisis to facilitate change. Hegelian dialectic, ladies and gentlemen, and that's what we have here. That's
exactly right, because the healthcare system, both in the United States and globally, the COVID helps build the international institutions for our healthcare to be managed by the United Nations.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got a.
They've been transferring our sovereignty over to the United Nations, by the way, just mm-hmm. so that everybody knows.
It's called world government, and it's called a new world order. As that, you know, we're supposed to believe that's just a conspiracy theory, and that's why we have the open that we do. That's why I put together all of those voices. Those are all people who are implementing the new world order, talking about the new world order. So, because we were called conspiracy theorists.
Everything I've researched over the years, when I first started researching it, it was a conspiracy theory. And then, mm-hmm. you know, a few years after the mainstream, after other people, of course, a lot of other people too. But at some point they said, oh, yeah, we really are doing that.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? And everything is just reversed. It's 1984 by George Orwell. There's a porn in there, and I've referred to it a lot recently because I see it a lot in society. This idea that, you know, they were at war with, you know, one region of the world, East Asia. Oceania was at war with East Asia, always been at war with East Asia. Then something would change on the battlefield, and they decided, no, we're going to go at war with the other one. And then you're always at war with Eurasia. And you were always at war, you know. So all the history had to be changed to reflect the new reality. And this is, I'm seeing this in the COVID crisis, the alleged COVID crisis. I'm seeing this in all aspects of society. All of it, this flipping of reality, and you're supposed to just believe that's the way it always was.
Yeah. Well, I found something interesting that Ashton Carter wrote. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago about the time reversal. You know, if you my understanding of what it was that he wrote, he apparently wrote a thesis paper on the idea that you could go back in time and replay the issues for a different outcome. And if you see what's going on in this country, that's exactly what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing with erasing our history, and they intend to rewrite it.
Yeah. Real quickly, to go through a few of these articles, I've got a bunch of articles here, but I'm not going to read them. I'm just going to read the headlines because there's just so much going on. The Guardian reports, Victoria makes COVID check-in mandatory at shops after transmissions from fleeting visits. They're saying that the Victorian government, I guess that's Australia, will now require people to check in at retail stores and supermarkets regardless of the length of time they spend in the store, as new data reveals a huge increase in check-ins to the service Victoria app once the state forced businesses to begin using it. Evidently, they're using the COVID passports over there, which is what Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, Great Reset scumbags, would have everybody to use. Moving along, Gateway Pundit. Passengers on first fully vaccinated North American cruise test positive for COVID-19. So fully vaccinated, quote-unquote, vaccinated, and yet here they're testing positive for COVID-19. Safe and effective, Vicki. Safe and effective.
I so wonder what test they're using. If they're using the PCR test, what would the setting be?
Because yeah, what would the cycle be?
The setting for magnification makes a big difference.
This is true.
Everything would test positive for it at a higher level of magnification.
Well, so, we talked about a few weeks ago.
So that was a big fraud.
But the CDC, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The CDC is lowering the cycle count only for those who are, quote-unquote, fully vaccinated. So you would think that the cycle count for these people would be lessened. At least from if they're from the United States. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming health. I don't know if health departments around the world are doing the same thing. That's a good question. I don't know. But anyway.
I don't know, but something interesting that Dr. Eden said, I have to go get this clip. It was a couple weeks ago on Steve Bannon. He said that, you know, when the whole COVID thing came up, he said that the what they were saying about it, what they were going to do about it, suddenly it was like from five or six different countries, they were all saying the same thing. Okay, can we all say global governance?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
And you know, the way that they did this international system is that they cloned agencies of our government, you know, like the EPA, they cloned that structure all over the world. So they have the same structure in governments all over the world. And so that's what enables global governance, so that they could all act in unison.
Here we see from the Epoch Times, a California woman who got both Moderna vaccine shots dies of COVID-19. But I guess that's just another one of those coincidences. Here we see from another one from Epoch Times. By the way, Epoch Times just kills it. They do a great job of covering the news. Australian woman's death leaked linked to COVID-19 vaccine. Again, that's another AstraZeneca story. Here we see from Reuters. EU adds another rare blood condition as side effect of AstraZeneca shot. Apparently, now, there is, I'll just read a little of this. Europe's drug regulator on Friday identified another very rare blood condition as a potential side effect of AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine and said it was looking into cases of heart inflammation after inoculation with all coronavirus shots. There's another, so they're making it be added to the label, I guess. Here we see from a website called The Defender, a children's health defense. CDC admits teens vaccinated with Pfizer or Moderna at higher risk of heart inflammation. Now, that is the story. And in fact, there's 800 reports now of heart inflammation after COVID-19 vaccinations in the U.S. And again, I put the word vaccination in quotes.
Dr. Eden said that young people who get this vaccine, he said they are 50 times more likely to die from the vaccine than they are from the getting the COVID, which is a kind of flu anyway. He said they, no children have died from it.
Yeah.
And so
no children have died from the COVID.
50 times more likely to die if they do get the vaccine.
Exactly. And if you call it the vaccine, I'm trying to avoid calling it a vaccine. What it is gene therapy, and it's a nasty situation is what it is.
Right. And so why are we allowing these Marxist monsters to mandate injections for our children, you know?
Well, why are we allowing the capitalist, the predator capitalist at the pharmaceutical industry to take over our government? That's the real question.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have the little commies running around with their authoritarian rule trying to control everybody, but you also have the corporations running around trying to control everybody. They're working in tandem. But anyway, the CDC is holding an emergency meeting, Vicki, because all heart in, because of this heart inflammation issue in young people. See, I think this may be their undoing. They shouldn't have. They made a mistake by going after the young people. The greedy pharmaceutical companies couldn't be satisfied with jabbing over half the population with their toxic stew. Now they had, you know, since half the population says, hell no, I'm not getting it, they said, well, you know, we still want to increase our market share a little more. Let's just, how can we expand it? Oh, I know, we'll go after the kids. We'll go after the children, younger and younger. And this may very well be their undoing.
The CDC will hold an emergency meeting next week to discuss reports of heart inflammation in some young people who received a COVID-19 vaccine. The agency confirmed at least 226 cases of the rare side effect in people aged 30 and younger.
Now, this is CBS, and you notice you used the word rare. They're running interference. Of course, you know, being funded by Big Pharma, they're going to run interference and try their best to make it not, the situation not look as bad as it really is.
Pfizer or Moderna shot. The majority of cases appear to be in men. So for more on this, let's bring in Dr. Bob Lahita. He's the director of the Institute for Autoimmune and Rheumatic Diseases at St. Joseph Health. Dr. Bob, these are preliminary reports, but what could this mean for the future of vaccine trials in children?
Well, I think that we have to be cognizant of the fact that most of these myocarditis, and there's a muscle around the heart. The heart is basically myocardial muscle, and that muscle gets inflamed, as well as the lining of the heart, which is called the pericardium, and we get pericarditis. These kinds of cases occur sporadically in people that don't get vaccinated or don't.
So in other words, it's normal, Vicki. It's just normal. This is happening normally.
Yeah, right.
Have COVID. So there are...
Are you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, except that Dr. Eden described that. That's why I'm really ticked off that YouTube took my video down, because everybody needs to hear that video and listen to what he says, because he described that condition and why it happens.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, in people that don't get vaccinated.
I will figure out how to get it up somewhere.
Yeah, there's all kinds of
Rumble.
BitChute.
Figure out how to do that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of alternatives.
Don't have COVID. So there are 226 cases right now, 41 of them ongoing, 15 of these young men, mostly men, I think all of them are men below the age of 18, are in the hospital. Three of them are in the intensive care unit. Of 130 million people vaccinated, you're seeing these inflammatory signs that occur in the chest, and it is transient. It comes and it goes very quickly.
Okay, so it comes and goes. So they're going to get better. They'll get better.
Huh.
That's what he's saying. It seems to me that's what he's saying. Anyway, I'm going to dump out of that.
If we believe him, that it gets better.
Yeah, well, I don't believe him. I don't believe anything these people say. How much money is he getting from Big Pharma? That's my question. Yeah. We know he's being paid by CBS handsomely for his opinion, I'm sure. And CBS is funded by Big Pharma. He won't be invited back if he starts telling too much truth. So, anyway, Tucker Carlson did a better job on Thursday.
In January, Israel became one of the first countries in the world to give the new coronavirus vaccine to young people. What happened next? This week, Israeli health officials released a report showing that vaccinated young people, particularly young men, were developing a potentially fatal complication, a heart inflammation called myocarditis, and they were developing it at extremely high rates. Researchers determined that the incidence of myocarditis in vaccinated young men was fully 25 times the usual rate. Some of them died. In Canada, at least one public health official observed the same thing. Dr. Peter Liu is the chief scientific officer at the University of Ottawa Heart Institute. He's an expert in myocarditis. Liu began to notice heart inflammation in patients who'd received the vaccine. It is more than coincidental, he said. In Germany, authorities concluded the same thing. The German government just announced that healthy young people should avoid the vaccine. It's too dangerous. This is a serious development for us in the United States. If statistical trends observed in Israel hold here, as many as 150,000 young Americans will develop a potentially fatal heart disorder because of the COVID vaccines. That's not alarmism. It's not some kind of anti-vaxxer conspiracy theory. It's real. Just this afternoon, the CDC confirmed what appear to be dangerous side effects. The country's two biggest vaccine monitoring systems, the Biden administration's Vaccine Adverse Reporting System, known as VAERS, and the CDC's Vaccine Safety Data Link, both show strikingly high rates of myocarditis in young people who have been vaccinated. We clearly have an imbalance there, a CDC official announced today. Imbalance is one way to put it. Potential emergency is another way. Given these numbers, it is possible that healthy young people in this country will be much more likely to be harmed by the vaccine than by COVID itself. That would be a disaster. In fact, it would be the definition of a preventable disaster. How are institutions responding to these new numbers? Well, mostly by ignoring them completely. In fact, in just the last week, many American colleges and universities have announced they will require proof of vaccination, an official vaccination card, before they allow students to return to campus. At some schools, the mandate applies only to students. For reasons no one has explained or could possibly defend, it does not apply to faculty and staff. They are not required to be vaccinated. As for the huge number of young people who have already recovered from COVID and therefore likely have robust immunity, at least as robust as they could get from any vaccine, they will be required to get the shot too. These are big numbers. There are close to 20 million college students in this country. And in the end, most will have no choice but to take a drug that other governments have concluded is dangerous for them to take.
Yeah, well, they will have a choice. They don't have to attend the university.
Yeah, you know? I think they'd actually be better saving their money.
Yeah.
Because the universities, our universities, have just gone to hell.
Well, there's no guarantee you're going to get a job anyway by going to a university anymore. At one time, it would guarantee you a good position. You know, I mean, there's never any guarantees, but I mean, as much of a guarantee as you can have, you'd be much better positioned for a good job anymore. There's a lot of unemployed people with a college degree. It's not what it once was, because they've flooded the market now with people holding college degrees. And
well, they'll give a degree to anybody. It's not, you know, how you get how they give children awards for participation.
Well, I can tell you from watching my two daughters, they don't just hand those things out for nothing. I mean, but they put them through quite a bit, and frankly, a lot of it is total BS. These predator universities. Hold on, let me just tell you this.
Probably depends on your children's demographic.
These predator universities will keep upping the ante. What they do is they go through a process, and these counselors, they have counselors there at the university, and they'll tell them what classes they need to take, and they take the classes, and then when they get to the other side, you took the wrong class. Well, wait a minute, I told you what you told me to take. I took what you told me to take. Well, you weren't supposed to take that, you were supposed to take this. And it's a fraud. It's an outright fraud. I have had to get involved in order to straighten these people out, and you know, as soon as they find out I'm on the call, then all of a sudden they change their tune. See, they're preying upon the inexperience of the young and vulnerable to commit fraud on them, and I say it infuriates me. It absolutely infuriates me.
That's really rotten. I've heard of
the
that.
Whole thing is a scam. It's a scam to get more of their money. And it is just absolutely infuriating. Yeah, what they're doing to these young people is absolutely unforgivable, criminal, in my opinion. It's criminal fraud, and they should be investigated for it. Anyway, we got a call on the line.
Racketeering has become our primary national industry.
Amen, and sister.
It's across the board.
Yeah, it's everywhere and everything. Let's go to Washington State. By the way, folks, if you'd like to call in, you're welcome to do so. 610-600-1776. That's 610-600-1776. or toll-free 844-646-8376. That's 844-6-GOVERN. Hello, Washington State. You're on the air.
You have Brian this morning.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on my mind is I'm always trying to drum up people to come on shows, and yours is a candidate for a Cohen Jacobs. He is writing a lot about communitarianism over in the Philippines. He's an expat from Belgium. And we're going to send you along some contact information. He's very frustrated. We banter back and forth. He's sending me a very recent James Corbett with Christian Westbrook of Ice Age Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
James Corbett had Nikki and Rosa and was talking communitarianism until 2012. Julie Beal as well. So here's this Cohen sending me all of these James Corbetts. Lark calls in to a couple of those broadcasts. So I don't know what is going on with this expat from Canada, James Corbett. What we need to look at, you know, is this guy a fraud?
No, I don't think James Corbett is a fraud. I think James.
I like James Corbett.
James, everything I've ever seen James Corbett do is excellent.
Okay, but what if the word communitarianism was dropped from the narrative? This is suspicious to me.
Well, you can't define people by one issue. You know, I think that's the problem is people don't understand. A lot of people don't understand communitarianism, and maybe. Even the people that do, it's one of those things. I don't know. You know, it's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But you know what? In 1990, that's when they decided, well, the Helsinki Final Act called for three baskets of cooperation. The human dimension was the third one. And the Socialist International decided to focus on the human dimension beginning in 1990. And that's when the communitarian movement, the modern-day communitarian movement, really started, as I understand it, started being promoted. But it's really just, it's a philosophy. And philosophy doesn't move the world. Now, maybe in the universities where they're dealing with theory and all of that stuff, it was a very big deal, teaching communitarian philosophy. But in the real world, in the business world, they don't deal on philosophy. It's all dollars and cents. And so...
I think
at Amitai Etzioni and the philosophy, you could also I found in that Common Responsibility paper published by the Socialist International, they also called for common responsibility and the new social contract. But until that philosophy is translated into policy and into all of the institutional organizations of our governing system, it really means nothing. So even as a philosophy today, it still means nothing outside of what our government policies and laws and so forth are doing.
See, here's the problem. Does that make sense? Here's the problem I see with the Patriot movement today. Everybody's got their pet issue, and if everybody else doesn't follow along or understand things quite the way a certain individual understands it and expresses it, then all of a sudden the accusations fly that they're maybe on the other side or that they're somehow not benevolent or not altruistic or not trying to do the right thing. I look at and I used to be that way in a large extent, I'm sorry to say now. Since I've been in the movement for a long time, and I've been at this for more years than I care to count, I look at things more objectively now. I look at the whole work of the person, and I take things a little differently. You know, people don't understand communitarianism. You know, here's the thing. When you look at communitarianism, it looks a lot like communism. And I know people like Nikki Rapata she hates the comparison to communism. It's a distinct thing in and of itself. And, but when we have a number of things going on here. First of all, we have Black Lives Matter and Antifa. They're out there. They are communist organizations. They're not communitarians. They are communists. They're communists and they're terrorists. And they are burning the cities down. It's the pressure from below. Okay? Then you've got all these different people with different interests pushing things from above. And then you have the United Nations, which largely is communitarian. The stuff that I see, and by communitarian, what we're talking about here is balancing away the rights of the people. You know, they're not coming out and telling people that you don't have, say, you know, a Second Amendment. They'll just say that your Second Amendment rights have to be balanced away for the greater good, for common purpose, for the community, the well-being of the whole. So they're not taking away the rights, you know, overtly. It's just an underlying, say, let's just balance it away. You know, this over here is more important. So it's a perfect example of that is the Kelo versus New London Supreme Court decision, which balanced away the property rights of people in big cities when they were not able to, you know, this woman went and wanted to keep her house. And for a private development, now we've always had eminent domain for highways and things like that, that the government wanted or needed to do. But this was the first time that a private individual wanted to keep her house in a private development, wanted to come in and bulldoze it. And the Supreme Court ruled in the private business's favor. And that was a huge gutting of the of personal property rights, but it's the balancing away of property rights, and, you know, so they take it away. And
if you lived in Washington and saw the graffiti, BLM is responsible for the clenched fists, the rights, community, justice, and the rising sun. Yeah, it's a blending of communism and capitalism. I had Vicky admit, no, I don't know about this word community, Darren, and you guys are having a little disagreement. Great. I think Nikki and Lark would be jumping up and down and saying, a community philosophy, yeah, but what about a key communitaire and the European Union? It's law.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to take up the whole show. You got a break coming. 2 minutes of Corbett and you can go on using the community word if you'd like. I'm insisting him and the Ice Age farmer who doesn't know anything about growing food and surviving in this world, whether it's going to be a heat wave or an ice age, and then maybe I'll get this 2 minutes in before the break. With your permission, I'm going to go.
What is it you want to play?
Latest James Corbett and Ice Age.
Okay. All right. You say it's 2 minutes? Okay. Fire away.
I don't think I like to frame our vision of what we're going for as self-sufficiency because I think that puts the emphasis in the wrong place. But community interdependence, where it's a conscious community that is forming around being able to provide these things for ourselves, not myself, but ourselves, because obviously you grow everything you need yourself. But if we frame it in that way, we need community interdependence. We need to build up the community structures to make that happen. We need, of course, we need the farmers and ranchers and people who are getting their fingers dirty, and we should all be engaged in that to some extent, but we should also, of course, be actively supporting the people in our communities who are doing that. We need organizers who will be the type of people who put this community together and help it run, who are creating. creating the farmers markets and the spaces and the ability for these transactions to take place. We need people who are helping to form that narrative and articulate it in a way that other people can see the problem and see what's coming and go, no, we don't want that. We need people who can articulate that, and then we need the proselytizers, the people who can reach out to other people, their neighbors, their friends, insert this into their daily conversation. So I think there's a lot of...
I'm not bothered by that in the least. What James Corbett sounds like he's talking about there is survival. And this goes back
to... Well, I kind of am, and I'll tell you why. Because the central planners of the global economy, they plan to manage the system economically by region. And the part of the analysis for a region is doing what's called a cluster study. Okay. Cluster study looks at the economy in your local area and it says, oh, okay, well, here's your biggest main business, and so we will just build on that aspect of your economy. Idaho is an agricultural state, and all the new businesses coming in all primarily are agriculture related. So I hear this stuff all the time. And what really bothers me is the community aspect of it. The collective, we're all in this together. I bristle at...
Yeah, but look, Vicki, you're being triggered by a word. The problem,
yeah, I am, I guess.
You're being triggered, you're all being triggered by a word. Community is common unity, and historically it's what people have always done to survive. What has happened here, let me finish a thought. Hold on. What has happened is the globalist scum have taken something good and perverted it. They've redefined it, and we've allowed them to do that. It's time for us to take back the narrative. You know, I got an article I wrote some time ago called Giving Back, the Communitarian Death of Benevolence. And I encourage people to check it out. I'll read a little bit of it, picking up with a third paragraph. I wrote, in ancient times, the Christian church was implored to come together in unity. The word that was used in Greek was koinonia, or koinos, meaning common. The word community is a derivative of two words, common and unity, both of which are good things and which are necessary in order for societies to function. In its rightful place, a community is a group of like-minded individuals who choose to voluntarily unite and work together for a common purpose. There's another phrase they've perverted. There's nothing bad about this, and indeed it is what humanity has always done since the beginning of time for the sake of survival. It is important to point out that community, though, considered a noun, should really be seen as a verb. Community is something individuals choose to do. By definition, you're not a community if you are not in unity for a common purpose. If an individual finds themselves no longer in union with the other members of his common unity, that person has the right to sever the relationship with the others and can either work and live on their own, or attempt to find another group of people with whom they can unite and join in their common unity. This is individual liberty and recognizes one's God-given right to be their own king without subject. Today, the very valuable and necessary relationship between individuals is being perverted by social engineers and societal architects through their doctrine of sustainable development. Academics like Anatoly Etzioni, founder of the Communitarian Network, have redefined community, the historical relationship of individual choice and koinonia, and twisted it into a system of communitarianism whereby the rights of the individual are trampled upon under the pretense of advancing the well-being of the whole. They are promoting a herd mentality. You hear all the time about herd immunity, for example, versus an individually focused one. Instead of recognizing each individual in a community as a king without subject, with inherent, unalienable, God-given rights, communitarianism views individuals more as replaceable components or cogs that are a part of an overall unit. They have hijacked terms like common purpose and exploit them to promote their brand of groupism. Under this system, property rights and other freedoms are significantly curtailed, if not eliminated altogether. Laws become vague or non-absolute, and as common values, often undefined, rule the day. It is a form of mob rule engineered from the top down. It goes on from there. I'll put it in the show notes. But we have to understand, increasingly, we're facing some hard times. We're facing some very difficult times ahead. The Great Reset, in all of its evil, is going to be foisted upon us. I think James Corbett is recognizing that reality and trying to figure out ways for people to survive. And yes, people, unfortunately, it's going to be a whole lot harder for people to make it on their own. If you have people you can work with, and I've thought of this myself. You know, I'm employed by an employer who was seriously considering and might still very well be mandating COVID passports in order to enter the building. If that happens, that's going to be very bad for me. And my wife and I have been talking about leaving the state of Michigan and finding a quote-unquote community of like-minded people that we can work with in the event that they do this everywhere, because we're literally not going to be able to participate in society, because I am not taking the Bill Gates poison. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about reality, not ideology, in terms of being triggered by a word.
Well, maybe it's the era that I grew up in, but community, common, is the root word for commune. And that's really what you're talking about. When you're talking about a group of people that go, that want to live in an area by themselves to do things their own way, you're talking about communes.
Well,
and it's actually even in a small scale, it's actually communist, because everything is shared in common.
Okay, but see, here's the thing, and you're right, the communists have had communes, but that is their common purpose. Okay, that's not something that I would join. That would be their idea of that. But frankly, I think this is the future. I hate to say it; it sounds bleak. But maybe that's how the United States is going to be carved up.
In killing billions of people, because if you look at our society today, and I'm not just talking about where you live in the woods. I'm talking about, look at our big cities. Look at all the bedroom communities surrounding the cities. Look at the people in this country. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a system like that unless you kill the majority of the people.
Well, what do you think the COVID shot's about?
Well, that's what I think so too. But in the meantime, I am totally, I'm opposed to, well, I'm opposed to it for myself. I mean, I really, it's not my business what you and your wife do or what Brian and Jenna do. You know, I'm an individualist.
Mm-hmm.
So
I am too.
So I believe you guys should do what's good for you. But as far as this being a societal idea that we adopt, I am absolutely opposed to it.
Listen, make no mistake about it. I absolutely am an individualist as well. But at a certain point, how do you survive? If you can't participate in society anymore, how do you survive? If you can't go to the store and buy what you need, what do you do? You know, you have to be on a farm. You have to be able to produce your food because you can't go to the store and buy it. I mean, this is already a reality in certain places. They're implementing these things, and either you comply. You could comply and be, but how much of an individualist are you if you comply? If you give in to the beast system?
Well,
this is really where we're at today.
At the point when they implement this vaccine passport, our society is over. We're in full-blown totalitarian technocratic tyranny. And if it isn't the food issue that gets you, it'll be the energy issue or the water issue or some other
issue.
But
do we lay down and die, though?
It will not be possible to live, I don't think.
But do we lay down?
It will not be a society worth living in.
Well, let me tell you, the hungrier you get, though, the more you're going to try to live. And it's about, in my mind, positioning yourself to be in the best position possible in order to survive. And
you heard that.
Survive for what?
James Corbett.
In the world that they're building, who would want to survive in that?
So what do you do? Just commit suicide, Vicki?
Maybe, yes.
No, there's spiritual. To me, there's spiritual ramifications for that. I don't want to go there, you know.
So you heard James Corbett say community organizers will be needed. He doesn't want to get dirt under his fingernails. His job, he thinks, is to socially engineer and steer people with his amazing gift of gab talents. I don't think that you and I are having an argument.
We're having a discussion.
I think
this is a good discussion.
I think somebody figured out a long time ago that people would be having this discussion argument over every man for themselves, or it's one big kibbutz. So I think we're being played here. I don't want to have that happen. I'm sorry that you have to put up with my carnival barking, evangelical preaching. I think this needs to be looked at. It goes back to, I'm interested in having Cohen Jacobs on. Jenna had him on RBN two Saturdays ago. This guy is desperately looking for a way out of this, and you guys know what the word is, and you're open to. I think you should think about having a guest. I appreciate all of your time today.
All right, yeah, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Very spirited conversation there. I don't think there's anything wrong with these types of conversations. I think it's important.
Well, and there is something that's important. All of these communitarian ideas, these community communist ideas, they're all contrary to our Constitution. Our Constitution is written in so that we have individual rights. The UN system is a system that wants to give you civil rights, and it's a system that wants to have you represented by groups. And I don't know, I kind of feel like that this whole community idea is an organizational thread to organize people who would otherwise be independent and independent thinkers.
Well, I disagree, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not interested in joining any communes or anything else other than the fact that I am interested in doing what I need to do to survive with my family. And whatever I have to do that, I'm going to do that. Because as time goes on, clearly the other side is not interested in law and order. They're not interested in maintaining the peace. They have been promoting the anarchy and chaos of the last year or more in the big cities. And
They're trying to build a new social order for the new millennium. They are trying to every society in the world, they are trying to instill new values and new ideas and new think. And
I guarantee you, if the McCloskeys, you remember the McCloskeys, that couple in Missouri who had this gang of thugs come to their house and try to burn their house down, loot their house, and maybe even kill them. Uh-huh. I guarantee you, they would have loved to have a group of like-minded people there with them helping to fend off that crowd. It was just him and his wife out there with their guns, and hers didn't even work. I'm sure they would love to have had a group of like-minded people there, a community, a common unity group of people, to help them, because they were outnumbered, and it had to be a very frightful situation. And imagine having that type of situation all across the country.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, but the big cities, that's one of the plans, is for the cities to become independent of the nation states, global cities. That is a thing. It was being promoted by the World Bank. See, all of this is by design. There is a design to the New World Order.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't include the nation state organization. They want to get rid of the nation state. They want to have a regional governing system. There are five regions under the UN system, and they want to be able to govern through that regional structure. And within our local areas, there are regional structures. If you look at the Economic Development Administration, that was started under the Lyndon Johnson administration as part of the Big Society, that's what they've been working on, is regionalizing our local governing structure, basically taking away, stealing the sovereignty of our local elected officials. They've done the same thing at the state level. So if you want to fight back at this system, you've got to understand the organizational structure and how it's working, how they've implemented it, and how they intend to use it. They've usurped our elected representative government at every single level.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're working very hard on getting the rest of it under control, including the military.
Yeah.
I want to finish up with this vaccination bullcrap here for just a moment, because there is something very important that I have learned, and I don't know how widespread this knowledge is. Before the call, I was playing audio from Tucker Carlson. Tucker goes on to address the matter. He's talking about these people who have fallen ill, who have gotten, well, really not fallen ill, but gotten heart inflammation as a result of the COVID shots. And again, you're talking about the United Nations. Here it is, depopulation. Agenda 21, because climate change is exactly the tool that they're going to be touting next. They've been touting it all along. They're going to go back to that and ratchet that up again. And so, you know, and they say human population. They're blaming climate change on the number of people that are here. So this is definitely an anti-person, anti-population.
Human.
Yeah, anti-human agenda. Exactly. So he goes on to address this this issue of this heart inflammation, these problems, and the fact that the real numbers as far as the COVID injuries and deaths are concerned are being disputed by the establishment. We talked a few weeks ago about how they're casting shade on the VAERS database numbers, their own database. Yeah, anybody can report to VAERS. Yeah, who's going to take the time to report to VAERS? You know, I would say, yeah, the numbers really are low. The numbers are inaccurate in VAERS. They're low, not high. Anyway, Tucker Carlson.
It tells you something that no one in authority ever seems to assess that or even mention the potential downside of vaccination. Every drug has potential side effects. Every drug, from Advil to chemotherapy. That doesn't mean we don't take them. It does mean, however, that we have a right to know exactly what those drugs could potentially do to us. Transparency is the essence of medical ethics. So what is the harm rate from the COVID vaccine? What's the harm rate? You're not allowed to ask. Have you noticed that? They'll shout at you if you ask. Several weeks ago, we quoted numbers from the administration's own reporting system, VAERS, that show a massive increase in deaths from this vaccine. Now, even if you believe the VAERS system is profoundly flawed, and it seems to be flawed, It's hard to explain the jump in fatalities in relative terms. Same system, different results. Between July 1st, 1997 and the end of 2013, that's 5.5 years, there were 2,149 deaths reported in the U.S. for all vaccines combined on the VAERS system. Yet in just 6 months, the last 6 months, there have been more than 5,160 deaths associated with the COVID vaccines, as reported to VAERS. That's more than double the number of deaths in less than one-tenth the time. What does that mean? How do you explain that? Oh, but those numbers are wrong, say the usual liars with maximum hysteria. Okay, let's say they are wrong. What are the real numbers? How many people have been killed or injured by the COVID vaccines? Does anyone know the answer? More to the point, is anyone in authority making a good faith effort to find the answer, to figure out who is being hurt and how? Would they tell us if they knew? Honestly, it is outrageous. If you're going to force people to take a drug, you have a moral obligation, an absolute moral obligation, to understand exactly what the effects of that drug might be and then be honest about what they are. But they're not doing that. We can say that conclusively. The people closest to these decisions have a pretty good sense of what's going on. They know transparency when they see it. They also know lying when they see it. You may have noticed the other day that the heads of NIH and the CDC admitted that up to half of their employees have not been vaccinated. Why is that exactly? You would think that people who work at NIH or the CDC would be first in line. Why aren't they? It's not because they're ignorant. Maybe it's the opposite. In Texas, one group of healthcare workers, these are some of the most informed patients in America, are revolting in public at the thought of being forced to take this vaccine.
Houston Methodist Hospital requiring all staff members to get vaccinated for COVID-19 or be fired.
Right off the bat, I pretty much decided like I was not going to do it. Everybody in America should have the right to decide what they put into their body.
Jennifer Bridges has worked at Houston Methodist in Baytown more than 6 years.
I planned on staying with Methodist for the rest of my life.
She spent the last year and a half treating coronavirus patients and even got sick herself.
I just had an antibody test like a week ago. I still have antibodies in my system, but it doesn't count for them. It doesn't work.
More than 100 co-workers have joined Jennifer with this lawsuit against the hospital. It claims Methodist is forcing its employees to be human guinea pigs.
The most basic questions of civil liberties are in the balance here, and at some point they'll be resolved. At some point, the courts will decide whether it is legal under American law to force adults to take medicine they don't want to take. But for millions of college students, time is running out. They don't have the luxury of waiting for a court decision because in just weeks they will have to show their vaccine passports or they will be barred from school.
Okay, so you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, what they're talking about, forcing people to take experimental vaccine, is a crime against humanity.
Absolutely.
There is precedent for it. It's under international law, and the United States is signatory. As a matter of fact, the United States was provided a lot of the prosecutors for the Nuremberg trials, and they actually hung doctors who participated in it. It's already international law.
Yeah, but we are selective in what we recognize as international law, Vicki. It doesn't matter to the people who are perpetrating the crimes. And unfortunately, the people who are perpetrating the crimes have all the power and money to be able to put any semblance of justice on the back burner, if not no burner at all.
Well, what everybody has to decide is how much is your life worth? You know, do you want to take a chance with this vaccine? They don't know if you get that injection, what's going to happen to you next year or the year after?
Or
the
10 years
doctors,
down the road.
All these CDC, nobody has any idea. Nobody does.
Okay, I see we have a caller.
How much is your life worth to you?
Yeah, how much is your health worth? I see we have a caller on the line. Hang on just a moment, caller, because I did want to cover this real quick. There is something called, now, have you seen these videos, Vicki, of people putting the magnet up to their skin and the magnet sticks? Okay, you probably think, as I did, that this whole thing was a hoax. I was very skeptical about this magnification issue. And I'll tell you what started to change my mind a little bit was Del Bigtree's people went out with a man on the street. It was actually a woman, so she was a mom on the street is what they called it. And she was talking to people on the street, and she was interviewing them when they came out of the clinic after having their shot. Some of them had bandages on their, you know, Band-Aids on their arms. And she had a magnet there, and she was testing this out. A lot of the people, to be fair, a lot of the people, it did not stick. There were a number of people that it did. And, you know, she said, well, some of them, it didn't, you know, you might be able to explain it away because they had suntan lotion on or something, or maybe they were sweaty. But there were some that she said it stuck, and there's no reasonable explanation as to why that it would stick. Well, I have a reasonable explanation now. And there is something called magnetofection. Magnetofection is a trademarked word by Oz Biosciences. They have a website, ozbiosciences.com. And I'm watching the clock, and we're almost up to the break. So I'm going to have to, unfortunately, continue this in the next hour. But they say on their website, magnetofection is a simple and highly efficient transfection method to transfect primary cells and hard-to-transfect cells. Inspired by the validated and recognized magnetic drug targeting technology, this original method is a revolution for transfection and infection. In essence, the idea it was to unite the advantages. In other words, I got to take the break. This is a delivery system for mRNA, a delivery system. I'll tell you what, we're going to take the top of the hour break, then we'll come back, we'll take the call, and we'll also address this magnetofection, because I think this is
really
very important.
To hear this.
Yeah, we'll be back here, folks. Hour three, straight ahead.
America was founded upon solid principles, which built the world's strongest economy. But our position as world leader is now at risk. Our nation's social and economic fabric is very badly torn. Solutions demand a very clear vision in 2020. Swiss America says it's time to take off the rose-colored glasses to see the red flags all around us. And their 38th anniversary newsletter clearly explains why. America at the Crossroads covers topics such as surviving an upside-down economy, why debt destroys the dollar, and China's plan to rule the world. Get your free copy now. It's easy to protect your savings from a year of wild cards now by calling Swiss America to get your free copy of America at the Crossroads. Do it now before the next crisis of 2020 strikes. 800-429-4018. 800-429-4018. That's 800-429-4018.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happens. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-430-8233. 800-430-8233. 800-430-8233. Call right now. That's 800-430-8233.
Before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
New world order.
New world order.
This
is a moment to see. The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
A new world order.
A world where the United Nations is poised to fulfill the historic vision of its founders.
Nevertheless, the United States is in a key position to shape this so that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
The first decade of the 21st century, that out of what is, will be seen as the greatest restructuring of the global economy. Greatest restructuring of the global economy. Greatest restructuring of the global economy. A new world order was created.
Judgment the crisis of our republic.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Waging war on the new world order.
The councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwanted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
This is Govern America with Darren Weeks and Vicki Davis.
From FEMA Regions 5 and 10, this is the third and final hour of Govern America, the fastest 3 hours in talk radio. It continues to be the 12th of June, 2021, as we get right back into it. By the way, since we're on satellite and on American Voice Radio Network once again, with that also comes the ability to listen on the phone. So for those that don't have either the satellite receiver, we've had some people talk about, you know, how they wish that we could, because our phone system, phone listening system didn't, you know, I don't know, it was a free service. And so it ultimately ended up going by the wayside. Couldn't get the people to actually respond to me to fix it. So they have a couple of numbers over there at American Voice Radio Network. So those are up on the Listen Live page at live.governamerica.com. But if you could get there, you probably don't need the numbers. So I'll just give them out here for those that listen on the archives. The one number is 701, area code, and the number is 719-3438. So that's 1-701-719-3438. Again, that's a listen-only number. And then the alternative is area code 605-781-1223. Once again, that's area code 605-781-1223. Those are two numbers you can listen to the show. Those are not call-in numbers. You call in to listen on those numbers. Okay? And so that's a little housekeeping there for those that need those numbers to listen to the show. We were talking about magnetofiction before the break. I want to get back to that here in just a moment, but there's a caller that's been holding for a while. I'll go ahead and go and take that call. I believe this is Alan in Texas. Go ahead. You're on the air.
You've got that right.
How you doing?
Darren, hello, Vicki. Good to hear y'all's voices again. I feel like a junkie getting my first for hell. Man.
Thank you.
And odd that you're talking about this, Darren, because this is what I wanted to call about.
Oh, great.
Early this week, I found out that my mother, kind of back even after all I tried to talk to her, got the vaccination. Well, I've been kind of pissed off all week. I went over there yesterday with a little, you know, 3/4 inch, you know, little disc magnet, you know, refrigerator magnet, and independently verified exactly what you're freaking talking about right now. The magnet stuck only at the injection site. You know, you move it an inch or, you know, either way, and it wouldn't stay. But right at the injection site, stuck.
Yeah, see, when these videos first came out, Alan, I completely discounted this. My daughter was the one that first brought this to my attention. Again, I got to give Jessica credit. She called this to my attention, and I said, Jessica, look, I said, just because there's videos on the Internet, you can't believe, well, yeah, but they stuck. I said, yeah, but you don't know what they did to make it stick. I said, this whole thing, more than likely, is a hoax. And I didn't dismiss it outright because of, you know, I understand that some things can look a little odd and not really, you know, it could actually be real. But I all but dismissed it. I mean, I just kind of filed it in the back of my head. Okay, you know, there's this claim. But I to be honest with you, I just about completely put it in the whole QAnon category and decided, you know, and moved on. It wasn't until Del Bigtree, and I think Del Bigtree is pretty credible, and he's got a team of people working with him, and they went out on the street and tested this thing, and it wasn't done to hype anything. It wasn't like clickbait that they were trying to do. It looked like a legitimate investigation on his part, on their part. And you know, if you were trying to hype something, you'd have them all stick. You know, you would. They most of them did not stick. Many of the ones that they tried didn't work. But there were some that did. And so that makes it even more difficult because a lot of people who have gotten the shot might try this and say, ah, see, that's a bunch of hooey. But
can I ask you this? Mm-hmm. Were they asking, because this clinic might have been giving out, you know, the Moderna or the Pfizer and maybe the Johnson & Johnson, depending on what maybe the people asked for a specific one. I can tell you, I independently verified this, not only with my mother, and I can tell you the Moderna vaccine. On the way back out to my ranch, I stopped off a little burger place down here, just, you know, a few miles down the road from me.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people outside, but there was no one else inside. So the little gal got me a beer and a burger, you know, as well as waiting for my burger. I drank a beer, and I just asked her. I said, I'm sure you've probably been vaccinated. She said, well, yes. I said, did you get the Moderna? She said, yes. And I said, do you mind if I do an experiment? And she said, what? I said, I'm not going to hurt you. I said, I pulled my little maggot out, and I said, you know, where did you get injected? She put her shoulder up, right here. I put the magnet up there. The magnet stuck.
Mm.
But again, I drive out my road. I stop at one of my little cousin's house. She's been a nurse her whole life. I know she had the vaccine. Well, which one did you get? Well, she got the Moderna vaccine. Once again, Darren, stuck at the injection site. I come past my place. I go to another cousin's of mine down here. And you know, I knew he got the vaccine way back when, but he got the Pfizer shot. I asked him the same thing. You want me to fix your fence? I said, before you do that, I said, let's do a little experiment. And I tried to put it on, you know, both shoulders. You sure you got it in this shoulder, on his shoulder? But he got it back in January. I don't know. It might have dissipated, you know, into his system. I don't know. But I can tell you, for a fairly fresh Moderna shot, see, I've not heard anyone mention which brand is doing this.
Yeah, I have a – I don't know exactly, and I don't think that they asked.
Darren.
I don't think that they asked, but I have a hunch it's probably all of the mRNA ones. That's what I'm thinking. That's my working theory, anyway, at this point in time. Well, since that's why you called in, Alan, listen to this. This is Dr. Jane Ruby. She appeared on the Stu Peters Show, and I have to credit the Stu Peters Show for this metalfection knowledge that I've acquired here, because this is a they were the ones that really talked about this, and I stumbled upon this. And I have since read a little bit about it. Now, I'm planning on doing more research on the subject. But what it really boils down to, well, they'll explain it here. Let me just go ahead and play this video, and you can listen to Alan.
I've received so many emails about this magnetism since that interview, I can't even keep up. But nobody with medical credentials really wanted to talk about it, and the comments on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and all the other platforms were mostly skeptics having a hard time believing that these people were credible. We can't say that anymore. It is real. It's scary, and it's becoming undeniable to everyone that would like for you to believe that it's a hoax. Jane Ruby is an international health economist with over 20 years in pharmaceutical research experience. She's a medical expert.
Stuart, you hit the nail on the head. It's real. We know it's real. There's an entire science in the literature about it. And we also know something else that's really tragic and horrific. It was intentionally added to these injections. Why, you're asking me? Because it is a more aggressive delivery mechanism to get it into every cell in your body. It's a process called magnetofection. And all this information is readily available. You can do the research yourself. You can look at the government's website, PubMed, to look at the peer-reviewed journal studies that have been published on this particular science. And what it is, Stu, is they are using magnetic fields through different chemicals to actually concentrate the RNA, the mRNA, into people's cells. This is in alignment with everything we've been reporting for weeks now. We just know what and how is behind these magnetic phenomenon where people are having these items are sticking to them. So what it is it's part of the lipid nanoparticle. And it's just, it's a super delivery system. And there are places in your body that, you know, other synthetic DNA or RNA should not be going. And yet, this approach forces the material, the mRNA encoding, to force your cells, again, to make over and over again these dangerous spike proteins all over your body. It's actually a forced gene delivery system. And I wanted to share with the audience, you're going to be hearing something more and more, about something called SPIONS. It's an acronym, S-P-I-O-N-S. And it stands for supramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticles. Where they're putting this magnetic field technology is in and around the lipid nanoparticle envelope that we've also talked about to get this mRNA into your cells. Why do they need to do that? Because the mRNA is so delicate, so easily degraded. It's another reason why it has to be stored. If you know, the Pfizer shot material has to be stored at least 70 degrees Fahrenheit below zero. So let me share something else with your audience. There's a company on the internet, and one of many, by the way, I've been doing all my digging. It's called Chemicell. It's in Berlin, Germany. They advertise, Stu, all kinds of products. There are hundreds of components that you can use to create these magnetic fields around your molecule, right? You can buy it in 200 microgram vials. It's called PolyMag. And I want to share with your audience the disclaimer on Chemicell's website in case you want to buy a little bit of these magnetic fields and attach them to mRNA before you stick them into the human race. And I quote the company, "The MagnoFection reagents and all of its components are developed, designed, intended, and sold for research use only." And here's the frightening part, Stu. "They are not to be used for human diagnostic or any drug intended for humans."
And this is in these so-called vaccines.
These components are what they use, Pfizer and Moderna at least, used in their injections, in these vials. This is why people, you have to get an informed consent. You must be given the ingredients of anything going into your body. And last but not least, just wait. We're learning more every day, Stu.
All right, so you just made a very serious and damning allegation on this program. You just said that this substance was intentionally added to create the substance that's creating this magnetism. How can you substantiate that there was intent?
Well, it doesn't occur naturally. It had to be added to the lipid nanoparticle. It's the component. We've also heard many experts, in addition to myself, talk about the polyethylene glycol portion of the lipid nanoparticle that makes it, you know, a little more fat-philic or fat, you know, affinity for fat, which normally would just slip it through cell membranes that are very protective. In other words, if you have a water-based membrane, a lot of other things can get through. But there are places in the body that God in nature never wanted any foreign material to get into. And by magnetizing these lipid nanoparticles with these chemicals, you are creating a super delivery system, a forced delivery system into parts of the body that are not supposed to be. And that's why I've been saying for weeks, this material that is injected into your body from these mRNA vaccine shots is going to every part of your body, every cell in your body. And while you may not have had an initial reaction that was of any concern, you are headed for disaster. Please do not, if you've gotten one, do not get a second one. If you've gotten the two-shot deal, do not get any boosters. This is going to get worse and worse and worse, and very soon, Stu.
All right. Oh, that was the video. I guess you can take it at face value, except that I can tell you this MagnetAffection is real. I am looking, as I said earlier before the break, OzBiosciences.com tells how it works. It says it's a simple and highly efficient transfection method to transfect primary cells and hard-to-transfect cells. Inspired by the validated and recognized magnetic drug targeting technology, this original method is a revolution, oh baby, for transfection and infection. In essence, the idea was to unite the advantages of the popular biochemical ketonic lipids and or polymers, and physical electroporation gene gun transfection methods in one system, while excluding their inconveniences, and they say low efficiency, toxicity, difficult to handle. It is a unique technology suitable for viral and non-viral gene delivery applications. I can tell you also, this is evidently so well known, it's got its own Wikipedia page as well. They say, how does it work? The magnetic nanoparticles are made up of iron oxide, which is fully biodegradable, coated with specific proprietary cationic molecules, varying upon applications. Their association with the gene's vectors, and they have in parentheses DNA, siRNA, ODN, virus, etc., is achieved by salt-induced colloidal aggregation and electrostatic interaction. The magnetic particles are then concentrated onto cells by the influence of the external magnetic field generated by a specific magnetic plate. The cellular uptake of the genetic material is accomplished by endocytosis and pinocytosis, two natural biological processes. Consequently, membrane architecture and structure stay intact, in contrast to other physical transfection methods that damage, create hole, or electroshock the cell membranes. The nucleic acids are then released into the cytoplasm by different mechanisms depending upon the formulation used. It goes on from there. I don't know how much, it's a little bit more to that, and I'll put that, of course, in the show notes. But I can tell you also there's an NIH study. There's a study that's on the NIH.gov website called Magnetically Enhanced Nucleic Acid Delivery, 10 Years of Magnetofection, Progress, and Prospects. This is a study that was published online in 2011, according to what it says. They're talking about 10 years of magnetofection in this study, and it was published in 2011. So this has been around since at least 2001, I guess.
Yeah, and Darren, I when I was in the Get Smart place, I was actually involved, developmental biology, cell molecular biology, did some research for some professors, played with electron microscopes, all that good stuff. I'm not saying I'm the world's expert by any means, but, I understand what you read there. I understand the possibilities, and all this crap started. The first question I asked was, how are they going to get the mRNA incorporated into the cell structure itself? Now, with all this crap coming out, I understand a little bit better the methods, and like I said, it's been a long time since I was in it. I know there have been major advances, but that was the question I was asking. How are they going to get this incorporated into the actual cell structure itself so we can actually get in there and start changing things? Now I'm beginning to understand quite a bit more. And, things like the Island of Dr. Moreau, zombie apocalypse, a lot of this stuff comes to my mind and doesn't give me a warm fuzzy, guys.
No, not me either. And I feel for those.
I am kind of speechless at that.
Yeah, this is not good to be speechless on a talk show.
Yeah.
Nanoferrites, being thrown about on, various places from different people. And basically that's what you're talking about. Nanoparticulates are not natural. Those are definitely lab created. I understand quite a bit better now. Yeah, it's not warm and fuzzy, guys.
Yeah, so apparently...
Let me add some more to this Frankenstein nightmare. The global system of health, how they promote the idea that they're going for global health, that's not true. What they're going for is universal health coverage. And what is Great Britain known for? Insurance, Lloyd's of London. And wouldn't this kind of thing be a perfect opportunity for betting? And they've turned our financial system into nothing but a casino. And this kind of Russian roulette in a vial is a perfect opportunity for these psychopath globalists to bet on. How many people are going to die with this? You know, how many people are going to be debilitated with the modification of their cells?
Yeah. What were you saying, Alan?
I had the experience with my cousin, you know, with the head of the Pfizer shot. But my cousin down here also, he is a very influential person. I mean, he goes to dinner with governors and stuff like this, okay? So he might, if he actually did get the vaccine and just not have his doctor pay his doctor some money and get a fake vaccination certificate or whatever, you know, they might have just given him a saline solution for all we know, you know.
That's
for years that these vaccines, they have been doing basically chemical warfare against us for a long time. They can put something in a batch, you know, that they were a certain part of a batch they send off to a certain area, and everything, all these medical records are all centralized. So they understand perfectly, you know, if they you know, spike, you know, something into a vaccination somewhere, you know, there's a, you know, an autism surge, you know, somewhere in some part of the country, or you know, this sickness, you know, a soft tissue cancer is increased in certain parts. They know exactly what they're doing, and they've been able to refine this and tweak it, and it don't give me warm fuzzies, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree.
Not at all.
I completely agree.
Hey, well, I appreciate y'all taking my call. It's so damn good to hear y'all again. I'll let you get on with the show.
All right. Yeah, blessings, Alan. Good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Yeah, this has been a well-planned effort. You know, we've talked a lot on the show about the pandemic exercise 201, but there have been other exercises as well. For one thing, we have this from the Daily Mail. Chinese military scientists, quote, filed a patent for COVID-19 vaccine before the virus was declared a global pandemic and worked closely with Batwoman at the Wuhan Institute. This is something that just came out, this week, I guess. Yeah, not quite a week ago. A Chinese military scientist with ties to the United States reportedly filed a patent for a COVID-19 vaccine well before the disease was declared a global pandemic. Yusin Zhao, who worked for the People's Liberation Army, lodged the paperwork on behalf of the Chinese political party on February 24, 2020, according to the Australian newspaper. The date was just 5 weeks after China first confirmed human transmission of the coronavirus. Zhou, is also said to have worked closely with scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, including Xi Zhengli, the deputy director of the lab, who is famous for her research on coronavirus bats, and who is infamous here in the United States now, for those that are paying attention at least, for being working closely with the United States and, you know, the EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak, whom we've talked about many times in recent days, who's at the forefront of this whole scandal about the funding. Daily Mail continues. They say their relationship, talking about the relationship between Xi Zhengli and this Zhao guy, I'm just going to pronounce it Zhao, their relationship is likely to strengthen speculation that the virus leaked from the lab and that China was aware that it was spreading between humans long before they alerted the international community. Zhao mysteriously died less than 3 months after he filed the patent, Vicky.
Huh. I wonder who inherited it.
That's a good question. I would imagine all patents are probably held by the communist Chinese government because you don't have any property rights over there, do you?
Oh, you're right.
When he filed it, he probably filed it on behalf of the communist government anyway. So he's dead now. He can't talk anymore. The New York Post claims that his death was only reported in one Chinese media report, despite the fact that he was one of the country's most prominent scientists. Zhao had previously worked on research linked to the U.S. institutions, including the University of Minnesota and the New York Blood Center, the newspaper reported. In recent weeks, many of the world's top scientists have pushed to determine whether the virus was leaked from the WIV. The lab leak theory was initially dismissed. I think we know all of that. So anyway, I think I'll just leave that there. More than a dozen national labs run by the Department of Energy have been ordered to assist the intelligence community in a 90-day sprint to examine the origin of the virus. Well, I have a feeling.
The Department of Energy. Now that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what they say, the Department of Energy. It's going to be interesting. I think any federal investigation will probably be to fix the scandal that's ongoing and figure out a way to try to put the genie back in some kind of container, shall we say. So, anyway, that article is there. In the meantime, as I said, there's been a number of exercises which has foreshadowed this so-called pandemic. And I think it's worth pointing out. There's a woman on YouTube called, she doesn't give her real name. She only goes by What's Her Face. But she does a lot of good work. And she's funny. She has come out with a video talking about because you remember Pandemic Exercise 201, which was the John Hopkins University, and Bill Melinda Gates was involved in it, and a whole bunch of other entities. I'd have to look up to see, I think the World Health Organization, all of it. It was an acting skit. They were acting out. They were simulating. It was a simulation of what would happen, how a real-life pandemic would play out. And it ended right before what we are currently living started. So they were, consider it a drill going live, as we've seen this pattern over and over again. But there have been many such types of drills in the past, and one of them is the SPARS pandemic exercise. Have you heard of this one?
Yeah, I do. I have the report on that. Okay. I haven't read it, but I have it.
Okay, she talks about this in there.
This is a document published in 2017 called The SPARS Pandemic, 2025 to 2028, a futuristic scenario for public health risk communicators. It's a quote-unquote hypothetical scenario designed to illustrate the public health risk communication challenges that could potentially emerge during an infectious disease outbreak. It begins with the disclaimer that the infectious pathogen, medical countermeasures, characters, news media excerpts, social media posts, and government agency responses described within are entirely fictional. But in the year 2021, the contents of this 86-page document look more like a gruesome snapshot of our current reality than any hypothetical fictional scenario. This document predicts that at first we will be eased into the pandemic with very simple mitigation strategies, like washing your hands and practicing good hygiene. But that over the course of 3 years, those simple mitigation strategies will slowly escalate to, get this, a mass experimental vaccination program. And the purpose of this document is to mull over effective communication strategies for dealing with the public when they become aware that this vaccine has no long-term safety data and that, and this is in their own words, it might potentially be causing more harm than good. This is straight out of the document. What are the potential consequences of health officials over-reassuring the public about the potential risks of a novel SPARS vaccine when long-term effects are not yet known? Long-term effects that are not yet known. That's weird. I heard from a professional student that long-term side effects don't exist for vaccines. Hang tight, because it gets even more infuriating. Communities around the country went through what some felt was a harrowing public health emergency, only later to confront the possibility, however slim, that the medicine we promised would help them may in fact be hurting them. Summary reports indicated that a significant number of helpline users said that their principal worry was associated with the SPARS pandemic and, more recently, uncertainty about the potential long-term side effects of Coronavax. Considering this new knowledge, Dr. Flynn countered the earlier claim that the public simply needed to wait until the science was clear. I urge you to take a look at this document for yourself. You might be pretty shocked by the parallels. It focuses on details such as how to deal with the public when they viewed graphic images of children being harmed by their medical concoctions. It covers the neurological side effects that will be caused by the vaccine. It even covers very specific details such as the Black community's hesitance to take the hypothetical vaccine, and more specifically, how to win back the Black community's trust in the CDC. even though the CDC funded the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. Here's a little hypothetical tweet they've included of a rapper pandering to the black community. When I said yesterday that I was proud of the black community's contribution to the Tuskegee research, I meant that I was proud of how they remained strong in the face of adversity. I am saddened by the injustice and suffering they experienced, but I still strongly support the CDC and FDA's recommendations to take Calosevir and Coravax. Sound familiar? Now, believe it or not, the end of this document is even more shocking than the casual minimization of 40-plus years of human suffering. It ends by mulling over whether the hypothetical president of the hypothetical pandemic world should address the millions of people who sacrifice themselves to this experimental vaccination. It reads, President Archer agreed to address the country's resolve and recovery in the face of SPARS. Top risk communication advisors from the CDC, FDA, NIH, and SAMHSA conferred as a group about how best to frame the president's remarks. The group vigorously debated whether it was appropriate for the president to acknowledge the sacrifice that vaccine recipients had made on behalf of their communities or to console them in their grief over that sacrifice. That's right, my friends. Back in 2017, your trusted health experts predicted that there would be a pandemic, that that pandemic would result in the rollout of a mass inoculation program, and that that inoculation program would inevitably lead to the death and injury of millions of people.
This was a plandemic. People that say that it's a plandemic, I firmly believe that.
Now, who would come up with such a plan besides an enemy of this country?
Exactly.
An enemy of people.
Yeah.
And because that is evil.
Yeah,
there's no other word for it than evil.
It is a depopulation scheme in accordance with Agenda 21. We wondered for years how they were going to accomplish the massive depopulation program that they wanted to accomplish. I think now we know. Well, I think this is one phase of it anyway. You know, they're planning on the Great Reset and people not having any private property whatsoever. Evidently, if you listen to the World Economic Forum, you know, they're saying that you'll own nothing, but you'll be happy.
Yeah.
You'll probably just be happy to be alive.
What are they doing with property? Their property assessment scams, you know, driving up the price of property so that, you know, especially older people have to sell. Or they decide to sell, but the price of homes is so high, you can't get another one, you know?
Yeah. Well, speaking, I'm glad you said that because that brings me to the next point here. By the way, Harvey in Florida sent me one more thing about the so-called vaccines. There is a piece on the New York Times on June 10th. The vaccines we have are good, but they could be so much better. They're talking about soon after the novel coronavirus emerged, its genome was sequenced and the vaccines were developed at, yes, warp speed. These are all Herculean tasks that deserve praise. But America's achievements stopped there. The initial vaccine strategy was reactive and tactical, not decisive and strategic. While it prioritized getting safe, effective vaccines into bodies as quickly as possible, it did not consider how to prevent variants or subsequent waves of the virus. All coronaviruses produce variants. And as with prior coronavirus outbreaks, variants of SARS-CoV-2 emerged as the virus spread from Wuhan, China, across the planet. The next danger is the further evolution of variants that can overcome the immunity provided by existing COVID-19 vaccines and prior infections. I'm not going to read this whole article, but I will tell you what the gist of it is. Bottom line, it sounds to me like they want to very much think of James Comey and the whole pre-crime situation with, all the, Minority Report. This is Medical Minority Report. What they want to do, in my belief, my opinion, based upon reading this article and just observing, I think they want to produce vaccines, so-called vaccines, jabs, for viruses and ailments that don't yet exist. This is the next step. They want to be able to jab you for something, and they can just say it's there and it's not there. You know, some people believe that the whole virus thing is a hoax. Now, I think there is something to it. I think there really is a virus. But where they want to take it is to be able to say that there is something there that you need to be vaccinated against, and they're going to jab you. So they'll be jabbing you all the time with DNA cell-altering injections. This is the future unless people stand up against these crazy lunatic psychopaths.
Yeah, well, I'll say it again. The redesign of our healthcare system made everybody a potential candidate for medical research.
Yeah.
And I knew that that's what they were doing with our healthcare system from the year 2007, National Governors Association. I hope everybody watched that video, that presentation.
Yeah, you're talking about the webinar?
It was a meeting of the National Governors Association, and it was a presentation of a representative from IBM and one from Mayo Clinic. Mm. And it was about personalized medicine. And, if they have everybody's medical records as an electronic health record and researchers have access to that data, they can select anybody as a research subject and you won't know. You won't know.
Yeah, which is the very definition of violating the Nuremberg Code.
Right. Right. It's a blind study, but it's the patients that are blind, not the researchers.
Yeah. You're supposed to be able to, if you can't be experimented upon without your knowledge or consent. But they're doing it. They're doing it anyway, which, what does that tell us? They don't fear any kind of criminal prosecution. They're above the law.
Well, our entire governing structure has been corrupted by building this global system. And there is no real law, no law enforcement at the international level. So if they're doing things at the international level, it's wild, wild west. Do what you will.
Yeah. You mentioned the consumer, how prices are going up everywhere. We have a number of different financial things happening. Fox Business, consumer prices surge 5% annually, most since August of 2008. I thought it was interesting how Janet Yellen came out recently and talked about how good inflation was.
Oh.
Yeah, she thinks it's great.
Well, they're converting the whole economic system. So it would be, that it's a major effort to convert the economic basis for the world, right?
Yeah.
For climate change and sustainability.
Yeah. Before I get
technocracy.
Before I get to the economic stuff, let me just say this. I wanted to say a word or two about the January 6th rally at the Capitol, the incident at the Capitol. I'm very disturbed to find that the FBI is going around knocking on people's doors. I just learned recently that a certain talk show host, who if I gave the person's name here, they would be, everyone probably in this audience would recognize his name. Okay? I'm not going to give the name because I'm not at liberty to do so. But this person received a visit from the FBI asking them if they had been at the January 6th incident.
Wow.
So apparently now in America, it is apparently illegal or of questionable legality to attend a peaceful protest. Because you see, not everybody that was there entered the Capitol. Number one, I have a real problem with saying that you can't enter the Capitol in the first place. Now, the people that broke windows and broke things and went into Nancy Pelosi's office and took things or whatever, yeah, okay, then you've got a problem. But people that went in there to have a protest, maybe make some noise, try to be heard, that is the very definition of getting redress of grievances, and that is exactly what the United States was built on. But taking it even a step further, there were thousands of people there that day that did not enter the Capitol building. And in fact, you know, setting aside for a moment that the police waved, allowed people inside, in some instances at least. So you do have that. Some of the people that entered, that are being prosecuted now for entering, were there because they were allowed in. And then you had the Antifa infiltrators, people like John Sullivan, who is thankfully being prosecuted. But why were they there? They're not Trump supporters. They were there to agitate. So you have agitators. We played audio on this show for people who had a one of those megaphones, and they were organizing. It sounded very much like an Antifa organization, very much like these communist leftists do. So I've come to the opinion that the entire incident was a setup. It was setup to ensnare the patriot community. There I go with the word community. The patriot people, okay?
You can use the word community.
You know, and I come back...
I won't say anything.
Vicki, I come back to our incident, our protest at the Capitol here in Michigan. We went up there to protest. In fact, the video I put up on YouTube, youtube.com/govern America, the video is there where I live streamed us entering into the Capitol building. It was on Periscope. Periscope is, Twitter bought up Periscope so they could kill it. They've killed it. But I was able to rescue my videos from Periscope before they killed it. The point is that video, I think, is very important because it shows us peacefully entering into the Capitol building. Because when I attended that protest, and I've told this story before, I don't want to get too long-winded on this, but I was shocked. You know, we went in, we were allowed in, and they took our temperature. The state police were standing right there in the entrance. They had a table set up, and they pointed this thing at our head and said, okay, you're good to go. And we went in there, and we made a lot of noise. We were yelling, let us in, because we were voting on legislation at the time, debating legislation. We made a lot of noise, and... But nothing was broken. Nobody trashed the place. Now, some people had long rifles. They had long guns. Nobody was threatened other than, the presence of guns threatened, trigger, some little people on the left. And in fact, the Democrat legislators, it was horrible. They stormed the Capitol with guns. Next thing you know, I go home now. After I get home from this thing, I take a nap because, it was kind of tiring. I wake up and I see Michigan terrorists trending on Twitter. I'm like, what? Come to find out, the way the media has framed this event is that we stormed the Capitol with guns. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was there. I was there. So I can see how something like the January 6th Capitol... Now, that was Lansing. The one I attended was in Lansing, Michigan. And I live streamed it. So anybody can see this was not a case of us threatening anybody. We were allowed in. We didn't force our way into the building. We were allowed in. And we did a protest in the spirit of what America is all about, supposedly. But I can see how something can be completely misconstrued in today's day and age. And I really believe that that's what's happening with this Washington, D.C. January 6th event. You had some people that were infiltrators that were breaking things and doing things that shouldn't have happened, clearly. But the overwhelming majority of the people there were people that just wanted redress of grievances, and they were there to peacefully in the sense of nonviolence, but vociferously, noisily, in a nonviolent way, be heard. And now, just for being in Washington, D.C., even without entering the building, people are being questioned. Were you there? This is a I believe this is to have a chilling effect. The purpose of this is to put a chilling effect upon all dissent. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I no question about what you're saying. I totally agree with you. Last night, do you know who Bobby Powell is?
Doesn't ring a bell.
Investigative reporter?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, last night he posted a video, and he was there at the Capitol, and he tells the story about it, and he actually captured video of a guy who broke a window. And the guy was very calm about doing it, and he was going to get arrested, but the police that were there guarding the window were called away.
Interesting.
To leave the window unguarded, unprotected. Anyway, bottom line is he's got videos of two guys that are, I would say, rather obviously FBI. They've got to be FBI because they were doing things that anybody else would get arrested for. And so I would say everybody go watch Bobby Powell's channel. It's his channel on YouTube, and he's posting it now because this video is in the hands of two congressional representatives, Kyrsten Sinema and Josh Hawley, and they're going to be using it. But he's been trying to get anybody to pay attention to his video footage that he took on the day of these two guys. And so just B-O-B-B-Y Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, for now.
For now, yeah.
I see people are really going to have to try to get away from depending upon YouTube for anything. I would say continue to use YouTube because we don't want an exodus off of that platform because that's where a lot of people are and we need to reach them. But don't depend upon them to have your stuff there. I would say put it up somewhere else in addition to YouTube at this point in time.
I think Bobby Powell has multiple, many copies in the hands of many people.
Yeah.
Because he's been an investigative journalist for like over 30 years.
Okay, we have a call on the line. 610-600-1776 is the number. 610-600-1776. Our toll-free number is 844-646-8376. That's 844-6-GOVERN. Let's go to Missouri and talk to Sam. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Darren and Vicki. Good show as always, packed with tons of stuff.
Thank you.
I just want to comment on one thing that the question that had been asked. I think Vicki had asked it earlier. We were out, and I didn't get a chance to call in at the time. But anyway, you're asking about where our leaders and all this stuff. Well, I would make the suggestion that our leaders are every bit as much our enemy, our so-called leaders. I don't like to proclaim them as leaders because they'd lead me straight to hell. But our so-called leaders are every bit as much our enemy as China is.
Yeah, I don't think you'd disagree with that, Vicki.
No, I wouldn't, and I don't think it's unique to our country. I think all the leaders of all the Western nations, for sure, are in this global governance thing together, and so really they are the enemies of their own people.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree more. That I know, and that's kind of a scary thought, you know, but it is what it is. And, you know, unfortunately, this is the reality we live in, and this is all the more reason why we need to start working a lot where we can. Somebody you might want to get a chance if you possibly can, to get on your show, and I'm sure I think you've had him on before, but it's been a while. Richard Mack is doing a lot of good stuff out in with his peace officers of the Sheriff's Association. In fact, there's a couple of counties out in Nevada actually joined his organization as counties. And there's some supporting their sheriffs there through CSDOA and helping their sheriffs with all the support, you know, necessary, you know, to stand up against a lot of this stuff that's going on. A lot of good stuff going on out there with Richard Mack's organization.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think that really, I mean, that's really our best line of defense at this point in time, other than individuals having their own firearms and being able to defend themselves that way. You know, the county sheriff, thank God we still have that, although many county sheriffs don't realize their rights and aren't necessarily on board with the Constitution. And that's the problem, but at least that's an option. And if you get a good sheriff in there, they can make a world of difference in terms of, you know, running the federal buggers out.
Yeah, well, he's working awfully hard to try to get as many on board as possible. And I happened to hear him on Kate's show the other day, and she played an interview back, or she did an interview with him rather, and he was talking about that. And you know, so basically, our best hope is local. And
yeah,
this is why it's so vitally important that people understand you don't go voting people in locally just because, well, he's a good old boy. He went to school with my nephew, and he's a good old boy, you know. He'd never do anything screwy, and sure, he wouldn't, you know.
Yeah, well, and another thing, not only just local, but state nullification. I know that you're in Missouri, and you have a governor, Mike Parsons, I think is his name, and he... I just read that he was saying something about not enforcing federal gun laws. You probably know more about that than I do.
Yeah, in fact, he apparently, and I'm going to try to do some more digging into it, that he had signed the Second Amendment Preservation Act here in the state of Missouri. And I'm going to try to dig into
it. So it was a legislative action then?
Yeah.
That's even better.
Dig into that and see if I can find more information on it, but hopefully it's got some teeth in it. The thing we got to remember with any of these things, you got to read through the legislation, because sometimes they'll sign these things and they'll be symbolic, but they won't have any teeth in them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That's the problem I've had with a lot of these resolutions. People make a big deal out of resolutions. I'm like, resolutions, you know, okay, they're a nice. It's basically they're making a statement, essentially, and no teeth. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
I think a lot of the resolutions that they sign, they're for like future legislators, saying that this is what we intended. At least that's what I've noticed with Congress. They pass a resolution and then they spend the next decade passing legislation corresponding to that resolution.
Yeah, exactly. You got anything else there, Sam?
No, that's it, but I thank you guys as always, and keep going.
All right, appreciate the call. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Yep, bye-bye. All right, in the waning moments of the broadcast, I wanted to address real quickly this global tax issue, Vicki. The G7 has just agreed to tax corporations, big corporations, 15%. You want to explain that a little better?
Yeah.
I got a question.
Corporations have been using basically tax extortion against and different locations to avoid paying taxes in their home country. And apparently what they do is something like they break up their businesses into units, and the unit that actually receives the profit is located in the very lowest tax location, which last day, when I looked at this before, Ireland was a very popular place to locate because they had a 10% tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so the G7 got together and decided that, at least for the G7 countries, that there would be a 15% tax rate. But I was looking at something right before the show, and I'm not sure that it's quite as clear as a straight 15%. They've already started putting in different rates depending on, and of course, you know, that will end up, letting them get to a zero rate again.
Here's what I think of it. Number one, they've been after a global tax for years. They you know, I quoted Thurgood Marshall, the former Supreme Court justice, in an email to you, the power to tax is the power to destroy. They have been wanting to have a global, like a UN or some kind of global tax for a long, long time. And I think this is the camel's nose in the tent. And it's not going to, you know, the corporations will always find their way to weasel around it. And Zero Hedge had a tweet. G7 decided that large firms, quote unquote, with a profit margin of more than 10% will pay 20% tax on anything above that margin where they operate. Why 10%? Because Amazon is 6.3%. So that's...
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, that was part of what I was reading about the putting in exceptions to the 15% rule.
Yeah, so the whole thing is a scam. It's just a scam, but what it accomplishes... Because a lot of people are against these big, huge, massive multinational corporations, and frankly, I'm not on their side either, to be honest. I'd much rather have smaller businesses, ma-and-pa shops, you name it, because the bigger the corporations get, the more psychopathic they get. Mm-hmm. But this is just another way of saying, hey, look what we're doing for you. Well, in the meantime, it's just another way of getting a tax, a global tax. And who's going to pay the tax? It won't be the corporations. They'll pass that down on to the consumer.
Well, there's a qualification there. Corporations, no matter how powerful they are, they can't pass along all taxes to all the only corporations that can actually pass along a tax to the consumer is a corporation that sells something essential. If you have a choice on something, or if a product is not essential, then there is a limit to how much tax they can, how high they can drive up their price, you know, for taxes plus their profit.
Well, all I got to say is that they have a reason that they're as big as they are. Somebody must deem what they do, what they need, as essential and necessary. Somebody's going to pay the taxes. I guarantee you it will not be the rich CEOs. And they
how they're getting us with taxes are the hidden taxes through the environmental system, your power bill, your water bill, the what they call the social costs of the use of resources.
Yeah, we're going to have to go. We're out of time. Thank you very much.
We'll have to do this again next week, talk about this more, because it's important.
It is important. I agree 100%. Well, we've come to another end of 3 hours, fastest 3 hours in talk radio. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. Thank you, Vicki, as always. I appreciate all your work. And join us back here next week. Tell a friend. In the meantime, pray for this republic. Do what you can to restore it. God bless you, folks. And we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Darren.
Thank you.